Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool. Host annual
host,
host
annual
an annual
annual,
annual. Meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls are beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right. We're back. It's Wednesday. PFW in Progress is on your computer, laptop, desktop, whatever. Until 2 o'clock, and we're here to talk about another round of Patriots talk. Still, I'm glowing from the win over the Ravens. Actually got a compliment from the Big Cheese here.
The Big Cheese?
Jonathan Kraft liked the cover of Patriots Football Weekly.
It's a good
he
cover,
did.
Freddie.
It was your best.
It's a really good cover.
You bet.
Or
one of your best, and certainly your best of late, coming on the heels
of
one
of
yours.
Well, there was a lot of pressure on you, and I thought you came through because you came off of a kind of a weak cover the week before.
Wow.
And I think you really, really stepped it up.
You were Joey Galloway the week before.
You stepped it up big time.
Joey Galloway wouldn't even have shown up.
We can talk a little about
your
Joey Galloway.
Didn't.
Fred's got a Joey Galloway thing.
We need to talk about Joey Galloway. I have a little bit of
he's reading between
reading
the lines
between
at
the
press
lines.
Conferences again.
And but we have a lot to talk about. We're not going to argue about the quarterback.
No,
protection
we did that yesterday.
Yeah,
but this morning
we still have a lot of emails, and I think I might read some of them just because people want to get their views out there.
That's true, because a lot of people listen to the podcast and they don't hear us do it live.
Sprinkle them in.
Yeah, we won't argue about it. We'll agree to disagree. That
plus we got
to
move on to Denver at this point.
Right. So today was media day. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady at the podium, decided to give Randy Moss a little bit of a break. Every time Brady does his interview in the locker room, his locker is right next to Moss's. And Moss can't even get up from his stool because he laughs.
He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
I said today I was going to, if Vince came in the locker room, I would do him, you know, for my call story.
Right.
And he laughed. Same laugh.
Yeah, but you said stool. It's not. It's a folding metal chair, so it's funny.
Whatever it is. People think it's stool. Anyway, so it's a
funny part. I can't say this for the whole time, but for the majority of that locker room period, I did not see Randy Moss.
He wasn't in there. He came in for a short period.
The irony of... Well,
right.
And
it's not
Tom.
Just him.
Tom said it.
Right. It's Isaiah Stanback. It's Joey Galloway.
Julian
it's
Edelman.
An invasion into
I mean,
their
it
space.
Goes like six lockers, seven lockers.
But Tom made a comment when he started today that Bill was mad at him and that Randy wanted a break and Randy won out, which I think we can all agree would never happen. If Bill really didn't want it that way, I don't think it would be that way.
Although I think that Tom Brady has a lot of sway on this team.
Oh, no. If Tom wanted it a certain way
yeah.
and Bill wanted it a different way, Bill might acquiesce to Tom if it was something he felt right. Tom felt strongly about. I'm saying if Bill wanted it one way and Randy wanted it the different way, I think Bill would win out.
But when
Randy's negotiating from a powerful position now.
I think Randy.
You really want to go into the game with just Welker, Edelman, and Aiken, do you? I think you'll have Tom do it over in the press room.
No, but I think Tom has a lot of sway, so if he sides with Randy, then, you know. So, anyway, I think it's...
I thought this was a place where we eliminated distractions. That feels like an Eric Mangini created distraction.
Oh, stop. Now you're going to make
if there's legitimate discussions about that.
No, we're not making anything like that.
Maybe I am.
From the media, it's much easier to do it the way they did it today.
I was actually in the locker room today.
You were, Fred.
And it was a quiet locker room.
You were speaking Spanish.
Although they were five deep in a new guy that they signed in the practice squad, which only in New England.
Bruce Davis.
Well, that's... You're right. Yeah. Only in New England because that's your only option.
And also only in New England do you have to go up to the guy and say, who are you?
Well, the guy, Ian Rappaport from the Herald, said, look, no disrespect, but who are you? The guy's like, what's his name, Davis?
Bruce Davis.
Bruce Davis. He was on the practice squad at Pittsburgh or...
He was drafted by Pittsburgh. Yeah. And then
I believe he's a UCLA D-end OLB
tweener.
Convert type.
One of those tweeners.
Wearing 49. Is that his number?
Yeah. Yes.
Get the lock.
You know, because they lost Prescott Burgess, Fred.
Right.
Right. Baltimore claimed him off the Patriots practice squad.
And then the big trade today, Braylon Edwards traded to the Jets for Chancey Stuckey, a couple draft picks, and one other player.
And a linebacker who I'm not familiar with. But, it's an interesting trade for the Jets. And you made the comment, Andy, before you came down, Fred said, you know, is it reactionary? You know, Sanchez had a tough game on Sunday, and, you know, I think it looks that way, but it really isn't because they were interested in Braylon Edwards as far back as training camp.
They were interested in everybody, including Crabtree, who got him in trouble.
They were looking for a wide receiver. I think it's a good move for the Jets. I don't think it's a great move for the Jets. I know a lot of people think this makes them a lot better.
Yeah.
I think it could.
And it probably will in the honeymoon period.
But I think that they needed more wide receivers, but they gave up one that was really contributing for them to get him.
Yeah.
And I think Braylon Edwards is a better player than Chancey Stuckey. But I think Stuckey's a pretty important guy in that offense. And, I think he's like Wes Welker to their offense. He's not as good as Welker, but he's that kind of receiver, a slot guy, small and shifty, quick, gets first downs for you. And now I think you're missing an element of your offense.
Is Edwards more like a Keyshawn Johnson type of player?
No, he's more like a T.O.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a big play guy. Keyshawn's more of a...
He also drops a lot of plays.
But that's why I compare him to T.O. I think T.O. drops a lot, and Edwards isn't as good as T.O.
He also has some of the psychological insecurities that T.O. has.
Yes. Yeah, you'll probably say what you say about all guys that you don't know.
No. Those guys.
He's a head case. I'm not going that
He's been a lot of trouble. He's been in a lot of trouble in Cleveland. Matter of fact, I was talking to Burt Breer today. I'm sure Andy was, too. He was the guy, evidently, that was Burt Breer works for the Sporting News. He was the guy, Braylon Edwards, that blew the whistle on all the things supposedly that Eric Mangini was violating in terms of the Players Association and whatnot. He was the anonymous rat.
Yep.
So
this is a great trade for the Browns.
For the Browns.
They were unloading him.
They get out from under.
No, and I think that might be the reactionary part because, like Paul said, they were interested in him as early as preseason, but...
Well, he's been on the block for a while.
Yeah, they probably weren't willing to give up that much for him, and now here's where the reaction part comes in. Now it's like, okay... We got to get Sanchez more help, a bigger body. You know, let's give up more than we were willing to give up more before.
But give up more when he could be suspended. I mean, when he's in trouble with the commissioner this story about bitch, you can get into a fight with LeBron James' boy.
He also could get suspended, absolutely. Which, depending on how that works out, now you're really in dire straits at wide receiver.
I think the best part of the whole story is he supposedly has this longstanding jealousy of LeBron James. And all the rumors are LeBron James is going to New York when he becomes a free agent, right? Or Jersey, New York, Brooklyn. Right. And he would be with him again. And the other thing is, Mark Sanchez is going to be the star of the Jets. If he's what he's supposed to be, Braylon Edwards will not be the star of that team.
Right.
Mark Sanchez is already the cover boy, glamour.
That's right.
The Sanchez.
Is that what they call him?
That's what they call him.
Oh, that's good.
Paul's big on those. McGenius, the Sanchez. Yeah. He's been studying up on nicknames in local media markets.
Because I do the preview every week.
I didn't think you did research.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Bill Belichick's press conference today. And I thought it was very interesting when someone asked him, he was talking about the receivers and, you know, big receivers versus
Brandon
small
Marshall.
Receivers.
He was talking about Brandon Marshall.
Yeah. And he was talking about the small guys on our team, like, And the first guy he mentioned was Joey, and Joey Galloway. And I, to me, reading between the lines, if Joey Galloway's on his way out the door, that's not the first person he mentions as an example of guys on our team that are smaller, you know, possession slot type of guys. So I think that, you know, where he was inactive last week, I think you're going to see Joey Galloway active this week. And
oh, I think he's a lock to be active, but it might be his last hurrah,
his last chance.
We all know about Andy's locks, but
when was the last time I was wrong in a lock?
Vince Wilfork.
What did I say?
Lock won't play.
I said lock.
I think so.
No, forget it. It's a new week.
No, I didn't think he was going to play either. I just wasn't quite as strong about it. Yeah, I think that Galloway probably will suit up, but I think the reason for that predominantly will be I think that Bill had to have seen what happened on Sunday and saw, I can't go into another game with two receivers. I just can't.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
But is he doing it? But we don't know if he's doing if he actually has three if Galloway plays, you know?
Well, but you got to find out.
I know.
And that'd be worse than Aiken. Yeah. The ball was just bouncing off
him. I made the point with Andy, and surprisingly, Andy didn't make fun of me about it because he usually does. But you had Aiken out there, and you don't really have to even worry about him as the opposition. You know, and you saw it. Yeah, he's going to catch a couple of passes. We talked about that yesterday. With Galloway, even if he goes the whole game and doesn't make a catch, and isn't where he's supposed to be once the whole game, yeah, maybe he doesn't do anything to help you, but you bet that the other team has at least got to be cognizant of his deep speed, and they have to make sure that they have somebody prepared. I would just, if I were Bill, if he really was that clueless that you're going to end up cutting this guy, if I were Bill, I would say, you know what, Joey, 30 times, just run a go route, 30 times, and maybe you throw two of them to him if he's open.
Right.
That, at the very least, he's going to occupy a safety in a corner.
But is this a teachable moment? I mean, are they trying to have him for the long haul? And
I don't know. I'm saying worst case scenario.
All right. Another thing that Bill mentioned today, and, you know, it's not something that is news. Paul probably knew it by doing the preview. But, you know, Denver has a smaller, faster type of defense.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
So how do you take advantage of that from the Patriots' standpoint? You know, assuming that they're going to be on your guys because they're faster, do you go into this game saying, okay, we are going to establish the run in this game? You know, how do you attack this Denver defense?
They have Elmas Dumervil is a smaller, faster outside linebacker. No doubt. I mean, he's tiny. He's, what, 5'11", 6 foot?
He says six. Everywhere lists him 5'11", he gets defensive and says, I'm 6 foot.
But their defensive linemen, their nose tackle is a guy that Nolan brought with him from San Francisco. He was a backup there. Named Ronnie Fields. I don't know much about Ronnie Fields, but he's like 6'2", 315, 318. I mean, he's kind of prototypical nose tackle size.
Yeah.
The two defensive ends are both 298, 297, so they're probably a little light, you know, like compared to Ty Warren and Richard Seymour, who are probably 310.
Right.
You know, so that maybe, but that's not small.
Right.
And their linebackers, Andre Davis is a big 250-pound inside linebacker. So I think that Dumervil is the guy everybody says, oh, they have a small, quick,
okay,
you know, front seven. I think the Patriots will probably be able to run on this team a little bit because I don't think they're that talented. Denver is up front. That front seven, I'm not, you know, Vonnie Holiday still there as a backup.
Old.
I'm not sold on the talent level of a backup in San Francisco from Mike Nolan's days as compared to, say, Vince Wilfork.
So who is he backing up in San Francisco?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because Nolan was the coach there, too. He could decide to play him.
So the 6.5 points given up per game, is it just a product of the teams they've been playing?
I think largely, yeah. But
no, because we don't say that for the Patriots. I mean, but it's the same thing. It's better numbers, but at some point,
I look at it is you give up 26.
The astounding part is, yes, but they're playing well.
You give up 26 points in four games, I don't care who you're playing. That's pretty good.
You can't just poo-poo it.
Right, so you know, I'm trying to prepare myself and Patriots Nation for, you know, what this defense is like, you know, what the Patriots have to do in order to beat it. You know, what are they doing to, you know, to get this type
making
of success?
Plays. Six interceptions, 15 sacks.
Now,
I mean, they're
but
making
talk
plays.
Talk about the turnover ratio.
I think they're plus six, I believe, is the turnover ratio. They're not turning it over at all on offense,
right.
No interceptions.
Right.
And quarterbacks have thrown no touchdowns and six interceptions against them. Six
right.
different guys, too. And you'd think, you know, everybody goes, Champ Bailey, he must have four of them. No,
right.
he has one.
The
they all have one.
The secondary has played very well, and Bill talked at length today about Brian Dawkins, who has played, he said, faster and more effectively than he's seen him play recently.
And I don't really
which
understand
is high praise
why
for a
people
guy
thought
that
he was going to.
Well, it's he
it was
said
a good
he,
signing.
He said he
it's
actually looks.
Signing. Everybody overlooked.
He said he actually looks better than he did 2 years ago
yeah.
when they played him. So
yeah. I wonder what he's been doing.
Oh, and have you seen him?
I know.
I saw him celebrating one thing, flexing.
He's jacked up.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
a really, really good player.
It's like Fred Kirsch juice plan.
I remember talking to Brady about him. I think like in 03 or 04, I think we played them in the preseason and then again early in the regular season. And Dawkins made a pick on Brady in the preseason game that Brady was still talking about, like, you know, several weeks later when we were playing him in the regular season, and just how much ground he covered and how he never was burned by a free safety the way that he was burned on by Brian Dawkins in that game. So there's obviously a lot of respect for his talent back there. I think he's kind of brought that group together. And they brought in – there's three new guys. They brought in Andre Goodman and they brought in Ronaldo Hill from Miami, who are both kind of journeymen.
Right.
But the experience, that was a bad, bad defense last year.
This is what worries me about this game is the Patriots are a passing team. Okay, if you take that away from them, I don't know what's going to happen. But they do have enough experience back there, plus Josh McDaniels, who knows Tom Brady like no one else in this league.
It's an interesting element, I think, to
you know, to really be a thorn in the Patriots passing side here. I really think they could disrupt the Patriots.
Could be.
And that's why I think they might have to run in this game.
But I'm not
I think you're
going to
see a continuation. Yeah, I'm not either. I'm with Andy. I think you'll see a continuation of what you've seen the last couple of games.
I think when they've wanted to run, they've run.
A decent
and I think running 30 times against the Ravens for 85 yards is a good day. They don't give up yards.
No, they don't.
Yeah. You have to take what is available, and that was available. They got what they needed.
I agree with you, Fred, you know, at times against Baltimore. I thought there were, you know, a couple of occasions, specific play calls that I said, all right, I know you're trying to really concentrate on not abandoning the run, but
yeah.
let's abandon the run for a second and just try to get a first down here, especially the last drive from
right.
midfield. If you're on your own 20, okay, maybe you say punt it, make them go the length of the field, but you're on the 50 here.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst that can happen is a turnover and you give the ball, you know, what, the 35 or something. That's I know what you mean, but I agree with Andy. I think when for the most part, when they've tried to run this year, I think they've been reasonably successful.
This was just handed to me by Doc from, of course, Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Pat's holding off on Seau until next week. As we mentioned last night, the Patriots brought in linebacker Junior Seau for a workout on Tuesday. But according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Seau won't be signing with the team this week. Instead, the deal is expected to be done next week with Seau joining the Pats for their October 18th game against the Titans. In the interim, Seau would continue to train, and hopefully he won't be on the Pamplona diet, whatever that is. And there's
no
a
idea.
Link. I don't know what
it's
is that the Bulls?
A reference
the Bulls
to a
Bulls.
Oh,
it yeah.
probably is. Yeah, that's where they do the running of the
running
Bulls.
The running of the Bulls.
Yeah. So, next week, according to Schefter, although he said it was imminent this week, so I don't know if he's trying to just cover his, you know.
Tail.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, in talking to some people inside the building, that seems to be in line with what we've heard. Originally, yesterday, the thought was it could happen as early as today. Now, today, people are saying probably won't even happen this
yeah,
week.
But wouldn't it make more sense to wait till the bye week? Do it then?
Maybe he wants a free trip to England.
Maybe.
Could he's a worldly it. Guy.
Yeah, he likes to travel.
And it could have something to do with that TV show, whatever his contractual status
he,
is.
He mentioned that. Seau mentioned
I don't know how many. I believe it was six jobs. I don't know how many of the six he's completed or how it's
unfolded.
I mean, we know the Bull. We know the Zamboni.
Right.
I don't know what the other four were.
So you're saying he may not be able to sign because he's still got
right.
obligations.
He owes them
it's
a show,
possible.
Which
that's
I don't get. I think they could work around it, and they would benefit in ratings-wise. I mean, if he were doing a show somehow simultaneously while be coming back.
Maybe he was trying to get Bill to agree to let the Versus cameras in, so that'd be one of his sports jobs.
Right, right.
Linebacker.
That'd be the season finale. Linebacker for the Patriots.
Two-hour season finale.
Right.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Doc, you said that one of our callers had a new opening.
One of our emailers had a jingle.
You want to play it?
Sure.
PFW in progress.
A new jingle. Let's hear it. It's a good time for that before we get into email.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
That's funny.
All right, not bad.
It's like one of those World of Wheels commercials. Yeah. Not bad. You got to have the music under bed throughout, though. You can't have...
under bed.
Fred knows from his days as a jingle producer.
Am I right there?
No, from his days being under the bed.
Yeah. No, not a bad effort, though.
I like it.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do with
these laptops these days. We have the greatest listeners.
We do. Yeah.
It's got to be the most interactive show in the history of radio.
All right, so what else? A lot of Mike Wright talk today.
Holy crap, he talked. I'm doing a Pulse story, so I talked to him. But he came in the locker room maybe 4 minutes into it, 5 minutes, and talked the entire period.
Yeah. And he walked right down the hall. Did you see him right down the length of the hall, the locker room with his little buddy? He was like Mike Wright and his little buddy.
But I talked to him for like 10 minutes, and then I ran out of stuff, and I walked away, and there was a guy still talking at the end of the locker room. And I think they must have been doing life story or something, which I'm not really interested in. I've already written the whole Cincinnati blah, 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 blah.
A lot of injuries.
Right. You know, mine is about he's playing well now, he's getting more consistent. Right. He's now having to think about penalties, and it's taking away from his game as a defensive lineman, he said.
Well, it's an adjustment period.
That percolate a little
bit. Know? It's an adjustment period.
I said I'm not talking about that today.
It is an adjustment period. He admitted to it. Doesn't think, you know, it's supposed to be just football, and it's not. It's supposed to be a physical game, and would rather it not. Because somebody said your team benefited, Brady benefits from it, and he said, no, I'd rather it were football. And then I ended, I asked him about the Broncos, if they still cut block, and he said, yeah, some of them do, and Ben Hamilton's a holdover and really does a lot. And
is it the same offensive line coach that they've always had?
No, he left a long time ago. Yeah. He left a decade ago.
But they still do the same principles of it's kind of a...
Sounds like they're tweaking it, and then he said, but everybody does that, it's football. And I go, unless you're a quarterback, and he laughed.
Right. But they still do the thing where the running back kind of picks his spot, goes with the line. And
the one cut and cuts run? Back. I don't know if they run in the same way. I haven't seen enough of Denver to make that determination. But I can tell you, they're still every bit as productive running the ball as they ever have been. You know, seven yards a carry for Cordell Buckhalter. And Knowshon Moreno is over four himself, the rookie out of Pitt. So they've run the ball.
He's having a very good first month as a rookie, and it's just overshadowed by the guy ahead of him that has a 7.
All right.
You guys said he's banged up.
Sprained ankle.
We'll find out later today.
Yeah.
You know who else had at least one good run I saw toward the end of the Dallas game was Lamont Jordan to set up the...
Big dummy.
He's a good player.
You don't want to wake him up.
Yeah.
No, literally. He was probably sleeping when they had to go get him.
And all the snaps are good.
From Lonnie?
Yeah, all the long snaps have been good.
And their backup...
I wonder if someone keeps track of
last week. He started
consecutive long snaps without a misplay.
Well, what's a misplay?
If there's a bobble or
Well, then was it a bobble or was it a bad snap?
the whole play
sounds like a very unofficial stat.
The whole play happens without incident. You know, whether it's doesn't matter whose fault it is.
I'm sure Elias does, right?
Because I would think that he has the record. I have never seen him.
I wouldn't necessarily think that.
Because
every time I think he's great.
I don't have the slightest idea.
You find out these long snappers that have been in the league 16 years and haven't had a bad snap since the Reagan administration.
So, anyway.
They are.
I don't think you see too many bad snaps.
No.
Not at the pro level. In college, you see them all the time. But not in the pros.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Do we have no emails? Why do you just
We have a ton of emails.
So we can jump into it 5 minutes early. I know you have like this cutoff point where we have to talk until this point. Talk. Say something.
Why?
Read an email.
You are an awfully angry man.
Really?
Not at all.
You're very
happy-go-lucky. Oh, somebody died on my way to the drive-in today.
What do you mean somebody died?
There was terrible traffic on 495, and then when I got to the Hubble, blah, 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 they had like windscreens up, and in the middle you could see a sheet over a body.
Oh, really?
And
on 495,
and all I saw was
one how anybody gets into an accident on that road. It's ridiculous.
That's why it's called an accident. You don't plan for it. I mean, somebody cuts you off, sideswipes you, and you're gone.
It's a straight road. It's got three or four lanes.
But cars have blind spots.
I know,
people don't see people.
You have to really not be paying attention to get it.
What happens is people change lanes.
Right.
when a car is in their blind spot.
Run them off the road. They're doing 85.
How I didn't hit anybody, I don't know. But I got cut off like that, and I ended up doing a complete 360 right across 95.
Do you want to recount?
Was it snowy?
No.
No?
Do you want to recount the
story
you told me yesterday?
I swerved out of the way, and I lost control.
Go ahead. Recount the story real quick about the story and the state trooper.
What's that?
Coming home from a movie.
Oh, no.
Did you make it up?
Well, it all started with, I have
I don't need the backstory.
Is this one he flashed his Patriots badge?
He's got more badges. He's got a Patriots badge. He's got a New York State
Detective badge. What are you talking about?
You told us that you flashed your ID to get out of a ticket.
I never
once.
Do that.
You did.
Oh, no. I never flashed the badge.
Oh, that badge.
I got stopped in Wrentham Center, and the guy said, I think I've seen you on TV, and then he let me go. I never flashed a badge.
But he's got a medal one, a card, a sticker. He's got so many things that are stupid beyond belief.
I have a friend in the New York City Police Department who got me a few things. He's a detective.
What a clown. But tell the story about the state trooper.
I had a guy once tell me, you have a lot of balls driving that fast and flashing that badge.
I never flash anything, and that's the point. I never show anything.
He puts it up here though. Somewhere in case he sees it or something.
I never show
Flipping
anything.
Fraud.
That's what I did.
I never show anything. Anyway, so we were talking about that, and I was telling him, I'm a good driver, but sometimes I don't pay attention. So one time I was on 128, and I was coming back from a movie, and I hadn't been drinking. But it was like 11 o'clock at night. Stady pulls me over, and he's like shining the lights in my eyes, like, you've been drinking? I'm like, no. He's like, where were you? I said, I went to a movie. He goes, what movie did you go to? I said, Barton Fink. It tells you how long ago it was.
Barton Fink.
And, he had never heard of the movie. So he's looking at me.
Fam, then, huh?
He's like, look. He goes, you are the worst driver I've ever seen. He says, you're all over the road. And, because I just went, it was like late. There wasn't a lot of people. So I was kind of like in between, going.
But how do people get in accidents like that?
No, but I, there
you
wasn't
don't pay attention. Something catches you.
The road
you know.
Was empty. So that's why I was driving.
You drop your cell phone.
But he let me go.
Swerve a little.
Apparently it wasn't that bad. He let me go.
Well, you probably had established the fact that you weren't drinking.
No, I wasn't.
And you were probably relatively respectful. And he was just like, I can't believe this guy's.
Look, when I get pulled over, I don't say a word.
No.
I have my
license. You just got all your seven badges.
I have, you're lining
them up on the Patriots one.
I have my license and my registration ready.
It's the only time.
They don't have to ask for it.
It's the only time Paul Perlow is not argumentative.
Yeah.
Is that when you take out your Super Bowl ring, too, as you're giving them the license?
I don't do that stuff. I don't pull
Excuse me,
stuff.
Robert Kraft's calling. Can I get back here in one second?
It's kind of important. I'm kind of a big deal.
I don't pull that stuff.
You watch Neckin. Do you need Patriots tickets?
I don't pull that stuff.
When's the last time you got a ticket? Thank you. You pull all that stuff.
I got a ticket about a month ago for going through the fast lane, and I had somebody else's fast lane, machine, and I guess it didn't register. And in the mail, I got a $50 ticket. They had taken the snapshot of my license plate.
I got to get one of those.
I don't because I rarely use the turnpike.
I don't. But when you do, you just go through the fast lane.
Right.
There's no lines there.
Well, it worked one way, and then on the way home, I guess it didn't work. I don't know if he ran out of money or what.
God. Okay, read an email. Now that we've killed the 5 minutes you needed to get past 12:30. Yes.
All right, time to take a break. No, I'm only kidding. We got screwed on lunch today, by the way.
I didn't.
It's coming, right?
Usually on Wednesdays, they have pizza.
He was ordered.
Yeah, I ordered. But today, instead of serving the pizza outside the media room, and one of you guys would be nice enough to bring back a couple pies, they're serving it up in the hall at Patriot Place because they have a really nice 1960s exhibit there. There's a guy who actually is a friend of Bill Belichick, went to prep school.
Always here at camp.
And this guy has a collection like none other. I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff he has. I don't know how he gets it. But we've got it all up at the Hall of Patriot Place right now. So if you're
presented
in the area
by Raytheon.
And you want to check out the exhibit, Hall of Patriot Place has an
presented
amazing
by Raytheon.
Right, 1960s exhibit right up at the hall right now. So
presented by Raytheon.
Use that lunch segue into...
Should we send somebody up just to see if they have a really good spread or something, if we need a sampling? What's Tomas
doing? They might have better stuff.
They didn't just get pizza?
He's waiting for the rest of the lunch.
What's it? What?
Only half of it came?
No, he's waiting for your guys' food.
Oh. What's Andy doing?
conference calls probably? It's early. I could send them up to the hall.
Yeah, send them up to the hall. See what they have. See if they have to-go boxes.
All right, let's get into some emails at webradio@patriots.com. Now, of course, if you listened yesterday, we got into this heated debate about difference of opinion on whether or not, first, whether or not the Suggs was a penalty. I thought it was. Paul didn't think it was. Andy didn't think it was. And about the validity of all these quarterback roughing calls and whether or not they should be calling it so close. I think they should. These guys think they shouldn't. So
Mike Wright agrees with us.
Well, I would expect him to.
Me too. But, I'm just saying. Know. Who agrees with you? Nobody. We will.
Well, Phil Sims did on the telecast.
I'm going to assume that pretty much every one of these emails will agree
no,
with
no, no, no. That's not true.
Phil Sims. He's actually real objective.
Anyway,
Bill was late to his press conference last week because he was laying on a couch chatting with Sims somewhere.
Dave in Toms River, New Jersey says, guys, in the person we can't make fun of unless it's a fact. That had to be the best opening in a long while. But Paul and Big Head are right, fat boy. Anyway, I was thinking about what is going to happen at the end of the Denver game this week. Will Bill embrace McDaniels or give him the Mangini?
He won't get the Mangini.
I don't know if it'll be an embrace, but he won't get. Definitely, I agree with Andy. He won't get the Mangini. I think this. Did you hear him talking about this at all yet on Tuesday, Fred?
I might have.
Did you hear Bill talking about?
It's like me now. I might.
Josh,
I don't remember. I
think there's some genuine respect there.
Oh yes.
I mean, I don't think this is anything like the Mangini situation.
Nothing
at all
like that. Mangini did it the wrong way. And
but it's not only that; it's the preparation I think that went into it because Josh had the opportunity after the 07 season to interview with a couple of jobs, I think Baltimore and Atlanta, and he turned them down. And I think reading the writing on the wall, Bill, I think, took the opportunity to sort of pick the brain a little bit of for Josh in terms of offensive coordinator and some stuff that maybe Bill doesn't know, isn't really aware of, and how things work from that perspective. And then Josh, on the other hand, got to do the same thing with Bill as a head coach to find out how the whole process gets put together. I don't remember him talking like that at all about Eric Mangini.
He never has.
I think.
And he said it today. I joking. He
very
said
legit.
Throughout my career, and he named guys I never even heard of. Some guy that went from Cleveland to Vanderbilt.
Rod Dauhauer got a mention today, and Eric Mangini did.
Never heard of him. And then he said, you know, there's been all kinds of cases over the years, guys that I thought would be great head coaches that didn't get hired, and then there's some that are the other way. And I'm thinking, does it rhyme with Banginius?
Right. Well, no, but he talked Romeo, Charlie,
right.
Josh.
He mentioned Nick Saban, Rod Dauhauer, Romeo, Charlie, and Josh. Never mentioned Mangini.
I still want to know exactly what, where was the what rule did
the
he
genesis
break?
Of that?
I think there were a couple things.
Because he turned down the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
That was a
please
a pro.
Don't go to the Jets. Secondly, if you
think
do,
it's personal, just he hates the Jets.
And then when he did, he had the nerve to wonder why he wasn't allowed back in the building of his own free will.
Mangini.
And go public with that. You know, like we did something wrong because now you're the head coach of the Jets and your credential doesn't work anymore. Like, you know, what? Are you kidding me? You know, come on.
I'd still like to know the exact way.
Well, I think that was part of it. I'm sure there's other things.
Yeah, I got to think there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he certainly – Josh is a totally different case. Josh, in my mind, is welcome back whenever he wants, is respected.
Right.
One problem I would say is, you know, you were saying that they picked each other brains and, you know, Josh got to figure out how to do things when you become a head coach. Bill could have left out the part which started with run your franchise quarterback out of town. It worked for me in Cleveland.
Well, you know, and Paul, you've made the point before that a lot of people want to copy Belichick, but they're not Belichick. And so
you can't copy him. I think the plan is flawed when you say I'm going to copy him. Yeah. The plan has to be I'm going to take the good things I learned from him that I know work and sprinkle in my own style, personality, upbringing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what why I always thought Josh would be great because of his dad. He's been around coaching forever. And I thought he would know where, okay, that worked for Bill, but for me it's a little different. And throughout the offseason I worried that he wasn't doing what maybe came natural to him and was doing too many Belichickian things.
Yeah, right. Remember that story in ESPN the magazine about a month and a half ago I told you guys about Seth Wickersham wrote. That's basically what he said. It's not about copying. It's about absorbing and recognizing what works, what doesn't, and getting the experiences.
And we're talking
and
off the field.
And
you can copy the playbook, like Bill says, everyone does.
Yes, that's fine.
This is all the little tiny things like putting Randy Moss's locker next to Tom Brady's.
To me, it's organizational structure. It's a system.
Right.
It's the structure of your
– right.
Of how you – the foundation of how you want your organization, the principles with which you build your foundation on. And I think that's what Josh was talking about earlier this week by saying, look, I was part of a system that I know works. Why wouldn't I want to try to emulate something that I have firsthand experience in and I know that system works? And that's what he's trying to do.
I'd say 90% of what Bill Belichick does, he got from other people. I mean, he talks about Paul Brown and how he changed the way.
The beauty of Bill is he was smart enough to get him from all those different places.
You know, how they handle the night before games, how they, you know, all that stuff. He got it from other people, including Bill Parcells. I'm sure he got things from Bill Parcells.
And Bill Parcells photocopied the.
Right.
Who was it then? Ron Meyer? Or no, what's his name? Fairbanks. Chuck Fairbanks.
Bud
photocopied
Wilkinson
it.
Was the guy who.
Bud
you know,
Wilkinson,
yeah.
And he stole it from somebody else. It's
right.
It's all stealing. It's knowing how much to steal and how much to tweak.
It evolves.
And it's like the Rex Ryan. It wasn't Rex Ryan. It was Marvin Lewis. It was Mike Nolan. And you're seeing Mike Nolan can still do it, even though he's in a different place. He's still a great defensive coach.
But, you know, Mike Reese tried to elicit from Bill today, you know, have you talked with Josh?
Yeah, that didn't work.
And he's not going to talk. He said, you know, those are private conversations. But I'll bet you that they did talk this week. I would say that they're that comfortable with each other that maybe on Monday night there was a phone call. That'll be it for the week. But I'll bet you they called.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. But I wouldn't be surprised.
But my guess is they know each other well enough, so either they talked or they didn't talk and they knew they were never going to. You know what I mean? Like they knew exactly how this week was going to play
understood.
Out. Right. There was no confusion there. There was no Josh calling and Bill not returning
Should
the call.
Should I call him?
Right.
No, I don't
None of that.
Him.
They knew exactly what was going on from the second the week started.
And it's different for players, too. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. When the players that played, you know, like Drew, when Drew was with Buffalo, they used to have the dinners before the Saturday night every year. Brewski would go, Ted Johnson, all
this
those,
past
all
week,
those guys.
Adalys Thomas went to the Ravens Hotel and got together with all the Ravens guys.
I don't think you see that with coaches. Even coaches that
some of them,
you know, have this.
I know
kind of
Dungy and Lovie Smith used to go out to dinner on the Friday.
Okay, I couldn't see that with Bill.
There's one other that I know for a fact.
Doc, I need a napkin.
Probably something you could have said off the air. You kind of just you tripped me up there. So
all right, Matt, the chef from Secaucus, New Jersey, says,
"What can you cook?
What's that?
What can he cook and what can he send?
He's a chef. He can cook anything.
I'm not so sure about that. Joey Galloway's a wide receiver. You'd think he could catch anything."
What kind of napkins are these?
Sanitary.
I like the big Patriots ones with the logo
paper ones.
Yeah, we don't have those anymore. Tough times. We're cutting back.
Matt the Chef says, I was thinking about the Suggs penalty to the knees. What if, instead of calling the penalty, the defense gets a yellow flag warning, like in soccer or in baseball when the pitcher, that's right, Andy, pitcher, gets a warning from the ump about pitching inside on a batter. It's an idea. Keep up the good work.
If we're going to be throwing ideas out there, what do you think of this? And it'll never happen. But there clearly players and ex-players, some coaches, don't like how things are being called and they think things are going too far or whatever.
Right.
The players are always held accountable, right? But the league never is. Even when they are, they just kind of say, yeah, my bad. What do you think about in the next CBA writing in some sort of, there's an appeal process and arbitrator and the league can be fined. It can go to charity, wherever you're going to, you know, the league can be fined $20,000 for blowing a call and it goes to the United Way. You put together a big pool and you make a donation at the end. Because the league works with, they have no, there's no repercussions for the league screwing up the officials. I know they're, you know, graded and maybe they don't get as good a job the next year, but it just seems like the player, he gets a flag and then he gets a fine the next week and it's all so public. You cheated, you screwed up, you're a bad guy. The league is never held accountable the other way. Like some sort of, almost like a kangaroo court.
I know, but I think that's a slippery slope because
I'm saying serious, like Richard Bertelstein or one of those arbitrators is the, he reads the rule, he watches the play, he makes a decision.
You're
independent.
Trying,
it's
you know,
Bertelstein.
And I'm not sure that, I'm not sure the league's doing a good job at this point, but you're trying to put as little attention on officiating as possible. Now you're creating this whole bureaucracy.
But you're trying to put as little on it. No, when you screw up. No, when you screw up, you're trying to put as little as possible.
But you have now this bureaucracy in order to, you know, it's like a court system.
Right.
You know, and
how about a two-way street of accountability?
Every week that's going to happen.
Two-way street of accountability.
I think it's a slippery slope.
It could be.
You don't.
Slippery slope like calling penalties when a guy's even near a quarterback. Slippery slope.
I know these men are, you know, have their own, you know, minds and you can't stop people from disagreeing, but you don't want guys just every time questioning every call.
No, I know, and you wouldn't. Not every player is fined for every call. I mean, I'd like to think there'd be some credibility to the system and the way it's constructed.
I think you kind of have to keep
But
that...
a defensive player right now is at a disadvantage, and he has no way
to... Well, it's been that for a while in the NFL.
That's my point. That's why everybody hates it.
Yeah.
So give these guys... and it's not just... I know we're talking about a specific kind of roughing the passer.
Does really everybody hate it, or do the defense, you know...
I think a lot of people hate it.
I think fans don't mind, really.
They mind when it screws their team. Right. And they should. That's how fans work. It's lucky break when it goes for your team, and it's BS when it goes against
them. We mind it in week one. They talked about it for a whole week.
I just think... I know, but the players...
No one's not watching the NFL because of...
No, and no one's saying
that. Well, that's my whole point about the protection of the quarterback. So you just can't prove to me... The on paper tangible results of if so and so is out, we're not going to watch.
Well, that would have happened Monday if Brett Favre wasn't playing. That game was about Brett Favre.
But that's a special case.
Yeah, it's
how many times has there been that theatrical 20-year Hall of Fame quarterback retired seven times and now playing his other team?
I think in your local market it doesn't affect it as much. But when you talk about nationally televised games,
but that's such
an extreme. The stars are. But that isn't extreme. That's like saying. You know, Parcells and Belichick, if that had never happened, you would have never had ratings for those tuna bowls.
True.
And you know what?
They're separate stories. There's always going to be some story. It's just a different... When Braylon Edwards goes back to Cleveland, there's always some storyline.
I think if they weren't playing Green Bay, and you could have made an argument that there might have been less ratings than it would have been if Sage Rosenfels was playing against someone else, because people might have looked at it differently. That this was an extreme... It's right. such an extreme with Brett Favre. And look, again, to prove my point again, no matter what the ratings are, they always set a record over the previous one, and Brett Favre did it again Monday night.
So do you think that's ridiculous and there could never be a two-way street there?
It's making too much of a big deal about it.
Right, but that's my point. It's only a big deal when the player's the one getting flagged, fined, and... You know,
look,
chastised.
On every side of these, you know, on a controversial call, there's one side that thinks it's a big deal and the other side doesn't want. But I think from a league standpoint, you don't want to have that kind of emphasis week to week on this, you know, now kangaroo court, like you said, about appealing fines.
Well, I was just saying kangaroo court because that's a phrase that's out there.
I
want it
to
be serious.
It's great that they have instant replay. You know, I think that's a huge step from where it was 20 years ago.
They don't use it, and they screw it up half the time when they're using it.
Well,
they don't admit to what...
But that can be fixed.
The passer's arm was going forward. Was it, or was the ball 3 yards downfield getting batted down by a nose tackle?
Yeah, I still think that system is broken, too.
Yeah, but that's my point. They're not held to any accountability. They can kind of tiptoe their way through any of their F-ups, but if a guy on the field screws up, he's getting a flag and a fine, and he's getting chastised, and, you know, he's getting declared a dirty player.
It's another one, and it cost him a challenge.
Is Vince Wilfork a dirty player?
No, but I want to go back.
Is Vince Wilfork a dirty player?
No,
does he get a chance to defend himself and call the league out for bad penalties?
Yes, he does. He gets a chance to appeal fines.
He appeals fines, but he doesn't get the league a chance to go after the league for making him look bad.
I want to go back to what you just said. There's no accountability on the part of
the league.
You know, the referees. There is. You just don't hear about it. I mean, these guys get penalized.
Well, then the fines should never be public. Those should never come to...
Well, I think the league would probably agree with that. They probably want, you know, but I don't think they
because
can.
It's not fair that Vince Wilfork, whether he's dirty or not dirty, gets dubbed a dirty player. And that's everybody agrees that was a terrible call, but that's going to get lumped in to his other less terrible calls over the years where he's kind of maybe earned some penalties.
Yeah, the public part of that is not necessarily the fine, it's the flag.
Right.
And you can't do anything about preventing the public from seeing that.
There is no accountability for the league and Mike Pereira and all those guys that run that show.
Well, you know, Joe Middle America watched the opening night game and said, roughing the passer 75. Jeez, that Wilfork, he gets a lot of those roughing the passer penalties. He gets a lot of those 15-yard personal fouls. But he doesn't look at it and say, well, that one, wow, he really didn't do much there.
He's always hitting somebody's knee.
And he didn't get, as far as I know anyway, he didn't get fined for that. Joe Middle America doesn't know about that. We, as Patriots fans, know that was a terrible call. We remember it.
Right.
We talked about it for a whole week after.
I'm sure Kevin Mowway doesn't think he's a dirty player. But,
I'm pretty sure he does.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he knows what he does.
Dan writes in, geez, Fred may need, he says, geez, period. Fred may need professional help. I was actually leaning towards the feeling that the roughing calls were good ones before Tuesday's show. Andy and Paul's arguments using the actual wording of the rule as compared to Fred's completely blind faith reaction. He was going for his knees. Changed my mind. Fred's arguments sound like the ravings of an unqualified sycophant. Fred asked Eric what that means. That's without the obvious double talk that Fred inevitably falls back on.
Who says this is a great email?
Being a homer is one
Paul
thing,
Perillo.
But completely ignoring the facts of the game is just makes you sound foolish. I don't care how we win. through the air, on the ground, huge blowouts, easy, Eric, or nail biters. With the help of the refs or despite their meddling, over the years now with Brady, we've done all of this and come out on the wrong side of the equation many times too. I think you just have to say a win is a win and move on to next week. Oh, and don't complain when the situation is completely reversed. It's the nature of the sport. Unfortunately, those lucky bounces aren't always for our team.
See, I think Fred's doing a good job right here of really reading
the very few
that were on our side, because I saw a lot of the subject lines. I didn't read any of the emails, but the subject lines are killing us. Here's the beauty of me, Fred.
They're idiots like Fred, blind homers.
The emailer says, "Don't complain when it's against us." See, that's the thing about me. I complain all the time. I think the officiating sucks, and I complain about the officiating every week. I know that it's sort of a sickness I have. I can't help it.
Paul actually wrote to the league and asked to change the way the games are played so you call your own foul, like in pickup basketball.
I think they need...
no blood, no fire.
I think it would be a better game if they just had a guy out there putting the ball down and setting the clock and doing all the procedural stuff and just let them play.
Guys would die.
There was no foul on the play.
I mean, there was actually a time, believe it or not.
See, I don't think so. I think they would play just the same way they play right now.
When football was in its origins around the turn of the century, 1900, Teddy Roosevelt actually had to step in and, you know, change how football was played because guys were literally dying.
Yeah, this is the same.
You know?
It's the same as guys playing without helmets on.
You know? William Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, says, Dear Small Heads and Andy, perhaps live it is different. Maybe it is the fat bodies making the heads look small. He's watching Patriots TV. Perhaps Paul was wearing an 80s woman's suit with shoulder pads. In any case, Paul and Fred have tiny heads.
That's
because we're orbiting Jupiter.
Yeah.
We look like the moons of Jupiter next to Andy.
I do have a small head.
I'm sure he was comparing it to your midsection, not to my head.
I mean, compared to Andy's head, I mean, I do have a small head, though.
Well,
your little brain.
No, I mentioned before the show, it looked like we were orbiting Jupiter. You know?
I can't argue that.
Yes, I know. You've used that line three times.
Anything of any value, Andy, is not in this brain. Anything that can at all make it lucrative in any way is
lucrative.
Gone.
Lucrative. That's a lucrative.
John Howard, who
bought us lunch
yesterday.
Thank you, John, once again. That was very nice.
He says, the rules as posted on the NFL rulebook page, maybe this is not the same as the official rules, but by this definition, it was a penalty. He's talking about Suggs. Suggs was unrestricted. As a matter of fact, Suggs did not start to fall until about 4 yards after the contact, and that contact was in no way enough to knock him over. He did not start to head at Brady's knees until a few yards after he started tripping. Maybe he tripped over his own feet. Maybe he tripped over a blade of grass, and maybe the block took 4 yards to take effect and knock him off balance. Suggs could have avoided the hit on Brady, but he chose to fall into Brady. Do I think he tried to take his knee out? No. Do I think he tried to get a hit on Brady after the play? Yes. The call was a training call, and it was an attempt to let Suggs know, if you have a choice to hit the quarterback after the play, don't take it.
Or during the play.
How about we change the rules so that everyone is protected from hits on the knees if the ball is not within 5 yards of the player?
No.
But that's not the rule for quarterbacks. You can't hit the quarterback even if he has the ball in his hand.
Right.
Right. That would be an additional rule.
Yeah, I would agree with his basic...
Sure, it'll come.
I would agree with John's basic summation, though. I think Terrell Suggs could have avoided that. And if you called the penalty because of that, then maybe it's not such a bad thing. How's
it's
that,
so
Fred?
Funny because
is that a little bit of a submission?
I think it was a terrible call, and I actually think Suggs was trying to hit him in the knee. I really
do. That's what I'm saying. If that's what he, because I have no,
but he didn't.
I have no rational explanation as to why he did what he did, and if that's why he got called
to hit him in the knee.
If that's why, if that's what they called it for,
but
then
it's
I guess
a terrible call.
I guess I can understand that, but I don't think what he did was a violation of the way the rule is written. That's the only thing that I argue with you about yesterday.
Let's see. Who's this now?
I don't know.
Oh, LT from Australia says, an awesome game on the weekend followed by an excellent show yesterday. I think that we escaped with the win on Sunday. That game could have or should have been a game that the defense loses for us. So to get that win, well, it was hold your breath stuff.
No, it was easier than many expected.
You know, I watched the game.
Fred thought it was easy.
I watched the game last night.
Was the replay easier too?
Yes. If the Patriots had done what they usually do on that last drive, instead of going three and out, and Brady hadn't overthrown Welker, they would have probably got a field goal at least It'd have been a 9-point game.
Well, they would have probably run the clock out.
But
how can you say that if they had done what they normally do?
Because that's what they normally do.
What's normal?
But they were playing
football is what they're good at.
I understand what you're saying, Fred, but they were playing a team that's pretty good.
I understand.
And what they normally do is force you to go 3-and-out in that spot.
Look,
that's what they normally do, like they did to open the game.
You know, Brady overthrowing Welker is the same as Mark Clayton dropping the ball.
No, it's not.
Why not? Why isn't it?
Because everything was...
That's Brady screw up, and it's Clayton screw up.
You think it's as easy to throw a pass to a guy as it is to catch a pass that's perfectly thrown?
It wasn't
a routine play.
We're talking about Tom Brady. He
I understand
he badly
that.
Overthrew Welker.
And why?
He screwed up.
Why did he overthrow
him? I don't know.
Okay.
You're going to tell me why? Tell me.
I thought he was under a little bit of pressure.
I didn't think so. I watched him again last night. You know, all they had to do was convert one first down. They probably would have gotten a field goal range.
And
at the very least, they would have made it a 9-point game.
Okay, so you think that would make it an easier, you know, situation? What if Baltimore had done what they probably do, 99 times out of 100 and converted a 3rd-and-1 and a 4th-and-1?
I'm just saying, either way, but...
Just say this for me.
The Patriots...
It was a good game against two good teams.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't an easy win. That's all I'm asking for.
It was easier than I thought it was going to be.
I can't imagine what you thought it was going to be if you thought that was easier.
All they had to do on that last 3-and-out
was... thought they were going to lose then. Because
no, I thought it was going to be a lot
that's
tougher.
That's the fine line.
I thought throughout the game it would be like, oh my God, we can't, you know...
It was. It was a tooth pull.
I don't think so. I think, at 17-7, we were feeling pretty good.
Yeah, well, I understand that we had a 10-point lead, but Baltimore was... certainly in the game throughout.
You know, if Brady, that's what Baltimore does. They strip sack Brady and they recovered in the end zone, but that's not a normal play.
Okay, and neither is Mark Clayton going down the field instead of cutting out to allow Lee Bodden to get the first interception of the season for the Patriots.
That happens a lot.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
It happened once in 4 games.
You know, don't you think the odds were with the Patriots that they'd get an interception by the fourth game?
The odds were with the Patriots, yes. With Baltimore on the 9-yard line.
That had to happen eventually.
Wait a minute. The odds were with the Patriots that Baltimore is inside your red zone and they're going to throw an interception. When they haven't thrown an interception, they haven't created an interception all season. The odds were with the Patriots.
Odds are they will.
You are absolutely out of your mind.
You know?
I am speechless.
The Brady strip sack.
I like the roughing the passer argument better.
The Brady strip sack, you know, and not being able to convert at least one first down in a usual situation where that's what they're good at. You know, end a game, 4 minutes to go, hold on to the ball. You know, he overthrows Welker. He screwed up.
What's a usual situation? This is the 2009 Patriots.
I know.
And it's a good Ravens defense.
Okay, so...
they scored the most points they've scored in any game all year, am I
correct? If this was week 12 and they had done that 6 times already, okay, right. That's what they usually do.
Aren't you surprised that they scored 27 points on the Ravens?
Am I surprised? No.
No?
I told you all week I think
you
they
thought
have
thought that'd be easy to do that?
No, I thought they would lose 27-24. They scored 27 instead of the 24 I predicted them to score. So, no, I wasn't surprised.
So it was an easier game than you thought it was because you had them losing by...
Yes, that's my point. It was easier than I thought it was.
Right. I thought they
were
going to lose.
That's the only answer that can make it easier.
You thought they were going to win.
Because they were within a hair of losing.
But I thought
Me and Andy were
win.
Wrong. We thought they were going to lose.
Right, but I thought it was going to be tougher throughout than it was.
I just can't imagine
it being any tougher throughout. It was a life and death struggle for 60 minutes.
You know,
Bill said as much when the game was over.
17-7, Brady gets strip sacked. Now it's 17-14. Now you got a game, you know?
When wasn't it a game?
I thought at
10 points is insurmountable.
When did good plays by the Baltimore defense become freak happenings?
Yeah,
I thought that's what they were.
You didn't know Lee Bodden, I thought
Terrell Suggs was a good player. I thought Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are good players.
Lee Bodden jamming
right,
Mark Clayton 8 yards downfield
we
was a good play.
But then you weren't. It's not any freak happening that the game fell apart. It was smooth sailing and then it fell apart.
So the game fell apart?
You said it was smooth sailing at 17-7.
I thought it was.
Okay. I don't really understand.
It was 17-7. We've got the ball.
Okay, so let's just agree to disagree because we totally saw the game differently.
All right.
And look, Bill evidently saw it the way Andy and I did.
And the
based
fans
on his
who are saying it was a nail biter.
I know. Bill comes out a lot and says that was an easy one.
Does he ever say that it was a tough one if it wasn't?
All the time.
Name one.
He says it's tough when they win, lose, draw.
No, he says it was a good division win for us when they blow out Buffalo 56-7.
Right.
He doesn't say how tough it was.
That's right. He'll never say, well, that was easier than I thought it would
right.
be.
He doesn't say how tough it was if it's 56-7.
I'm sorry he doesn't go to the degree of toughness, but he would never say that was easier than I thought it was.
Are you trying to tell me that it's the same thing to say That was a good division win as opposed to the way he talked.
Paul, he's...
Fred, why don't you just admit the game went down to the last play with 8 seconds
left? Of course it did.
No, you didn't. You said it was easier than you thought it was.
Why can't
what did you
I
think
say
they were
that?
Gonna, you think they were going to get the stop with 11 seconds
now,
instead?
Now Paul is saying that I can't believe what I believe.
So what did you think? They were going to stop him with six seconds instead of 10?
I thought that, you know, the Patriots would never be up with by 10 points with the ball. Okay? Can I say that?
Okay.
Can I believe that? Is it all right for me to believe
that? You picked them to win and cover.
Wait a minute.
I don't know what you thought.
And you're taking like a small portion of the game.
I know.
The game is a whole.
But, Paul, is it okay for me to believe that? That I didn't think they'd be up by 10 with the ball?
I just can't imagine.
Can I believe that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know what that means.
I thought that was a pretty good.
I'm going to steal a quote from Fred Kirsch.
I thought that was a pretty good position to be in. By, you know, a commanding position by the Patriots. I didn't think they'd have that.
You know what?
And they were in a really bad position when they were driving for a touchdown.
I thought the Buffalo game was easier than I thought it was going to be, too. I just don't understand it.
You're not being honest.
No, of course I am.
He honestly believes his own crap.
So just if one play happened differently and they lost 28-27, it would have been tougher than you thought it was?
It was an easier lost
so the difference between the result of one play would have made it gone from easier than you thought to tougher than you thought.
Be specific.
The last play of the game.
The last play.
I would say that the Patriots blew it because they had the game
so
in hand.
It would have been tougher than you thought. This game ended up being tougher than I thought it was going to be.
I would say the Patriots blew it because at one point I thought they had control of the game.
I really thought yesterday you were just trying to get me going.
No.
And you were busting my balls.
Do you not think at 17-7 with the ball that the Patriots were in control of the game?
No, I never thought they were in control of the game.
Oh, except when you nodded in the first quarter.
Because the left tackle.
No one puts more importance in the nod than you do. It's ridiculous. It's pure idiocy. That he nods and you like, God has spoken, the game is over.
At one point, you thought the Patriots were in control because you
when
nodded.
The left tackle got hurt.
Okay.
It ended up not being anywhere near as big a deal as I thought it was going to be.
You know, so,
I thought the guy was dead. I thought it was deflate
I
Baltimore.
I thought we weren't going to argue today.
You two can't because I say it's Wednesday and you two say, no, it's Tuesday and
you
Friday.
You can't be honest.
Now he's saying I'm not being honest.
Well, you'd rather be called.
I just can't imagine that. I thought it was going to be easier than the last play of the game. I can't
You picked him to win.
You picked him to win the game, and they won on the last play of the game.
I picked him to win, but at 17-7, with the ball, I'm like, wow, I didn't think it would be like this. I can't believe that. Now, it didn't
turn out.
But
that's not the way the game was.
And you have to look at the game as a whole, not
as a I understand
the one
that.
Point
I
when you say,
no, he ignores all the plays the other team made.
I understand that. But a
fluke circumstance.
You know, I understand.
Patriots
that.
Were sitting pretty but, until Plaxico you know, Burress
you,
caught a touchdown
you
in
guys,
the end zone.
You guys
that game was easier than I thought it was going to be until it was.
You know, you guys want to say
can't
that.
Can't take snapshots.
I know.
Look at the game.
But, you know, it's all from a matter of perspective. You guys want to say, well, if Clayton had caught that ball, we're talking about a different game. And I'm going to say, well, if Brady doesn't overthrow Welker.
All right,
it's just a matter of perspective.
We can do that 1,000 times.
Right.
This is the
if
part.
If Joe Flacco and Clayton read the same play, Bodden doesn't have his first pick.
Right.
And if they're winning.
The referee
at
spots it and measures, it might be a first.
It easily could have been
not a first down.
It could have easily been 17-14 at the half.
We can take 1,000 plays, but not all of them are on the final play of the game.
But for one play where, you know, Bodden bumped Clayton off his route and ends up going, he goes in the end zone instead of out, that's a 7-point swing.
Every play matters, and there's
every
a butterfly
play.
Effect. But you know what? Just like the league ignores it when there's a questionable spot on some random first down play in the first quarter, and you're like, wow, I didn't think he moved the chains, and they just move the chains, and no one cares.
Right.
There's a different significance on the final play of the game.
Which, by the way, set up the 3rd and 1.
Right. But I was just being in generalities. But there's different importance placed on different plays.
And you're right about the butterfly effect. But, you know,
the bottom line is they had the ball with the opportunity to get into the end zone, and they were right there, and the guy dropped it. It bounced off his chest.
Again, I'll go back to, and Paul can say that I'm not being honest, but I'm being honest when I'm saying it. 17-7 with the ball, I felt pretty good about this.
But you packed on it. It was a victory.
And I didn't think I would, you know.
Okay, can someone else talk?
Go ahead.
You. I didn't want to get into the whole penalties thing again.
But
at 17-7, you just
burger and listen.
See, Andy's right about the butterfly effect. You're just looking at the score of the game, and you're saying, "Well, I just never thought we'd have a 10-point lead." Well, did you really feel that they were dominating the game and were outplaying them to the tune of 10 more points? Or did you think that Baltimore had a number of things that went against them? They really weren't playing that bad and really didn't deserve to be down 10. But here they were, midway through the third quarter, down 10. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think the game was ever out of reach for Baltimore.
I felt pretty good also about the way the Patriots were moving the ball on.
I think they've moved the ball excellent, and I think the defense played excellent.
And I didn't think they'd have that kind of success.
I think Baltimore did well on both sides of the ball as well.
You know?
I think, like Bill said, it was a great game between two very good teams, that were one of which we're probably going to see down the road again.
And again,
that's why
one of the reasons why I was so impressed that they were up 17-7 with the ball is because Baltimore is so good. I'm not taking away anything from Baltimore.
But you're acknowledging they're good, and then you're surprised that they get a strip sack to get back in the game.
I was surprised.
That's like a team hanging with the Patriots and then being surprised when Brady hits Moss deep, and all of a sudden that 10-point game is a 17-point game.
Look, I'm sorry.
How are you surprised?
I was surprised 17-7 with the ball, and I felt in control. Now, things, you know, went downhill from there, but, I didn't think we'd be in that position.
This is how I would explain it.
So you were lukewarm confident going in.
Yes.
But this is how I guess I would explain it, Fred.
Absolutely. If they had lost that game, would I have been surprised? No.
But you were right to be lukewarm confident because if you had just blind confidence, say, no way they're going to lose, you were wrong because they could have lost.
I'm losing confidence by the day going into Denver.
Well, you shouldn't.
Why?
You shouldn't. You shouldn't do that.
6.5 game points a game isn't a fluke.
Yeah, whatever.
Now it is.
That's going to quadruple.
I just think they've played three very offensively challenged teams.
All right, Doc needs to take a break. We'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush, but you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right. So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and Internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You've heard the jokes.
Flanders has cooties. Flanders has cooties.
You've heard the jabs.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
You've heard the voicemail.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Today, hear the man live. That's right, the infamous Ken Flanders will be appearing on Shop Talk today on AmericanAirlinesPatriots.com radio. Send us your emails, call the show, and be a part of the biggest moment in Shop Talk history. It's Ken Flanders on Shop Talk today at 4 p.m. only on AmericanAirlinesPatriots.com radio.
Where nobody sucks. Except for Flanders.
That's right. The Shop Talk show with Ken Flanders is today. All right, I really need everybody to listen to that. I'm going to be listening. I won't be.
You'll listen to that show?
Oh, yeah, I'll listen to the show.
Basil already said he's listening.
What?
Well, he's a creep.
So,
Basil?
Yeah, Ken Flanders, long-awaited appearance of Ken Flanders. He's not fictional. He's a real person, and we're going to hear from him for the first time live today at Shop Talk on 4 o'clock. Now, the other thing is, if you're within driving distance of Gillette Stadium on Sunday, there's only one place you want to be watching the game, and that's right here at the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse. It's the annual Game with the Greats. There's going to be over 25 alumni here. Only $40 gets you in the door. You watch, you know, I think the doors open about an hour early of the game. You watch the 4:15 Denver Broncos game with the alumni. There's autographs. There's all bunch of stuff going on. So you go to Patriots.com.
Cheerleaders?
To buy your tickets. I think there's cheerleaders. Yep. Doc is shaking his head. Yeah. You know, so
you really
want to be here to watch the game. It's a great take. They've had it for like 3 years now, and it gets better every year. So,
You said autographs.
You basically get everybody's autograph.
Hey, normally you go someplace, you pay $25 for Tippett's autograph.
Tip is there, right?
Tip is there.
I saddle up next to Tip and let Tip tell stories, man. It's worth the price of admission alone.
Might need your earmuffs a little, but
and it's a legacy game.
Hey, so you bring kids. Yeah.
So that'll be good.
If you see Tip, tell him the PFW boys sent you.
Go to Patriots.com, buy your tickets for Game with the Greats. It's only $40. And watch the game right here.
Eat.
Yeah,
hot girls. Yeah. Legendary players. Food. What more can you want?
Is Hargy back?
Well, I don't know if Hannah's going to be here for this one.
Right.
Is he?
No.
Doc?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I know. He's been dealing with some issues lately.
Doc, is Mr. Krabs going to be there?
Yeah.
No, he'll be in Denver.
Avi from Long Meadow writes
which we knew from yesterday.
Avi from Long Meadow.
Will Bon Jovi be there?
Sorry, Fred.
Avi says, considering that conventional wisdom was that the Ravens were playing better than the Pats on both sides of the ball, when you take into account the Pats were never behind, it felt like it was an easier win than expected, case closed.
Son of a... Who wrote that email?
Oh, I don't think the Ravens played better on both sides of the ball Sunday.
No, he said coming into the game.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Who wrote that
I misunderstood.
Email? Fred K. Patriots.
John in Clearwater, Florida says, if you kids don't stop, I'm turning the internet around and going home.
Okay.
That's good. I like it.
Go to a porn site.
Let's see. Wow. A lot of emails.
I love it when he does.
I know, but
it's more than I could possibly read.
You know what
that means?
Need.
He opened one up and didn't want to read it, and he was looking for another one.
I need a producer.
Andy Paul Wright.
I need producers that screen them and give them to me.
You need a
producer. Isn't that the way it works in real radio?
Yeah, this isn't real radio, so get over it.
Nice.
Real radio, I'd be sitting here getting paid. This
PJ,
my job.
PJ writes in. We haven't heard from him in a while.
Naccarelli?
PJ in Philly? Yeah.
What's he been up to?
He says, long time
no
talk.
Why do I know that?
What an argument that was yesterday. I would weigh in, but it will end up the same as every other argument. Paul says the opposite of anything that is said.
No.
Andy goes off on a ridiculous tangent where he forgets to breathe, and no one hears the last couple of words. He says,
it's like you never left, PJ.
Because he's out of breath, and Fred says, right. On to football. Living in Philly, I don't get to see the Pats game in their entirety. I have the Red Zone channel and see when they are in the red zone. The lack of points that their defense has given up has been very impressive to me. Has this been smoke and mirrors or circumstantial, or has the defense really stepped up and shut down the opposing offenses thus far? Also, I am sure you guys have touched on it by now, but what impact will Braylon Edwards have on the AFC East? I think he has enormous potential, but he's been terrible the last couple of years. He has what is commonly known as Merryweather hands. Thanks for the great entertainment. I never miss a show. So
we're still all, I think, on some level doubters a little bit of the defense, but
I know
the bottom line is they're not giving up points. And the bottom line is Merryweather's a perfect example. My guy, James Sanders, blows a coverage. There's no way in heck Merryweather gets there in past years. That's a long touchdown, and you're saying, that sucks. These guys suck. They're blowing plays. You know, they're making some plays. Even the Bodden one, I'm not sure they would have always come up with that pick. He made a nice play. It was a terrible read by the offense, but he then looked like a wide receiver and made a nice play on the ball.
Great play to keep his feet
and
inbound.
Gary
like a wide receiver
comes in and makes a tackle. There's just too many of these plays to just disregard as, well, it's all luck. It's, you know, they're just getting lucky.
Yeah,
there's too many of them.
I think it turned the corner in the second half of the Atlanta game where I think it went from holding onto your hat and surviving to making plays and stopping the other team. And I understand that the points have been down all year, but I think there was a clear difference between the three and outs that Atlanta was forced into in the second half of that game. And then for the most part, you know, 14 points against the Ravens. I mean, that's pretty good. That's just good defense.
I mean, they're in the top offenses in the league. So whoever you think the best is, most difficult to defend, whether it's the Colts because of Manning, whatever, you're doing it against somebody that's in that conversation. It's not just crap. It's not the Browns every week that you're the Chiefs or somebody you totally disregard.
Right.
So you got to give them credit. It'll change. There's going to be games. I mean, when you do some of the bad stuff they're doing, when a team's going 7-9 on third down in a stretch and staying on the field that often, there's going to be games where the points are not going to be low. They're going to start snowballing. But that said, we're four games into the season and it hasn't happened yet.
Right, and hopefully when that happens, Brady will be back on track.
Right, that's the idea.
Right.
And hopefully he has receivers to throw to. And
TG and NJ says, great PFW TV show, guys. By the way, that's available on Patriots.com as we speak.
Turn your speakers down for the trash talk segment.
Always have Fred on the trash talk segment. We got a glimpse of what it must look like in the studio when you guys go at it.
You did. You see how red he was? I thought he was going to die.
Add Andy Snicker here. So, how do we all feel about having Julius Peppers, about not having Julius Peppers now? Could he be the most overrated linebacker in the game? I like the young guys we got, let him play.
He is clearly the most overrated linebacker in the game because everybody thought he was going to be a game changer. He's never played linebacker.
What can we Julius do better Peppers? Against the Broncos, run or pass? I think it would be better to try to run the ball. The passing game could be suspect against this defense. Do you guys think that Ben Watson could be a factor this weekend for the Pats to be successful? I still can't get that 06 playoff game out of my mind.
Watson's been a factor for a couple weeks now, so sure.
Yeah, he hasn't had a ton of catches after the opener, but he's made big catches in the opportunities that he's had.
Given the lack of depth at receiver, he could continue to need to.
A little surprised that Chris Baker hasn't been more prominent in the offense
at all. A little bit. In the red zone.
I am, too. I thought he was going to be a little bit more active. Not that I don't think he's played badly. I just don't think he's had a lot of opportunities.
I have a stripper's bet on that.
Oh, yeah?
Touchdowns. Baker, Watson. Oh. He's got Watson. I got Baker. It's for a lunch for all of us.
You're in trouble.
Nice.
No, it's 2-1.
That's true.
508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Touchdown. I forgot about it.
Steve from New Hampshire is on the phone. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
Great.
Where's he? I called James in Pittsburgh to see if I could talk. Apparently, it's okay.
He said it was okay. Good. Good.
But I'll tell you. Yesterday I didn't get to hear it live, and I listened to it last night. You know, I had the iPad phones on when I went to bed, and I'm going, this is the best show by far. You guys were so good. I mean, honestly,
it's all
but
made up.
But I got points for both of you.
Yeah.
On Fred's behalf, you guys know I'm pretty much the homer, just like Fred, no doubt about it.
Yep.
But sometimes, Fred, I think you look at the game too much as a business versus the sport that it is. So saying that,
really?
I
got to
go with Andy and Paul's side and go, I believe that call was crappy because Tom did step out of it, and he definitely did not have forcible hit on him. I don't think that should have been a penalty.
What is a forcible hit?
It's you hit the guy. Intentionally, if Tom stayed planted on his right foot and he had nailed him, that would have been a forcible hit. And the other thing is, when you look at something like that, and like you guys talked about looking at the replay, you guys know I tape the games and I always watch it.
Yep.
The one thing I don't do, because it drives me nuts, is like when you hear people that review the plays, but they do it in slow motion. Now, I think that's the worst-case scenario to really break. I mean, there's certain things, like a fumble recovery, yeah. But when you watch a play like that, when a guy is playing the game of football and he's reacting, when you watch that replay, you got to watch it live. You got to see it in fast, you know, in live action what he's doing, whether he's, you know, making the lunge at it. In slow motion, you can hit pause and spurt forward and go, oh, look, he lunged. Yeah, put it on live and watch it over and over again live. And then make your judgment calls, and
well,
that's how
I
try to look at him. And I don't. So therefore, I don't think he was. You know, I think it was a crappy call. I think they are somewhat wussifying football, which I kind of hate. But
you're one of our more astute callers, so that means a lot.
And then people complaining about Brady. I don't know if you heard his press conference this morning, but he goes, you know, they asked him about it, and he goes, yeah, I took it. Of course I am. You know, he's talking to the refs before the game. How's your kids? He goes, I'll take any advantage I can get. And part of me goes, hey, if it's the rule, I'm going for that call, too. Give me 15 yards in the first down.
I have
down.
No
Thank
problem with
much.
Him lobbying for the call at all. It was kind of the reaction to
he
the call.
He did react. I agree with you, Paul.
Yeah,
He didn't lobby for it, but he knew he got it.
Right. When he got it, he kind of
mocked
he
the defense.
Yeah, he kind of reacted like, nah, 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 nah. I made him
exactly.
throw a flag. And in the back of my mind, I worry about what Andy talked about yesterday. Does the next guy see that and say,
right.
SOB, I'm going to really show you this time.
It was a little brother saying, ha, I got you in trouble with mom and dad. Well, you know what? Sooner or later, mom and dad leave and the big brother kicks your ass.
You end up winning the battle and losing the war. And that's, you know, if this season unravels over a cheap shot on Brady, you think we had an argument yesterday.
You
see nothing that will take
Fireworks.
Place like that.
No, Andy, when you did say that, I definitely thought that in the back. I go, yeah, I can definitely see somebody going after him for that reason alone. You know, and that's another thing. People are going to spin it. You know, it's almost like the Rodney Harrison thing. They're going to spin it the way they want to make it, you know, a highlight and whatever. And it's all wrong. I saw Rodney live. To me, that was a joke. I laughed when he said it.
And Tom Brady, if you're listening, take off the skirt
but
and put on some slacks.
What I do want to say is, and I know I told you guys this. I mean, I started saying this, you know, back when we had the draft. And, you know, the initial reaction, I was like, oh. But then I went, you know what? No, I'm good with this. And honestly, watching these games now, come on. Guyton, Alexander, Green, these guys are doing it. This is a great team. And the only thing that can happen here anything can happen. But these guys are going to get better, man. This is awesome. I love Junior coming back, and not because I need him as a playmaker, but God forbid anybody does get tweaked and injured. He's a great guy to have there. But his leadership and his motivation, those kids need that. You know, but you have so many guys in that level that we lost, and even, you know, like a Brewski, he was more a silent, you know, or Troy Brown, they were more silent types, where Junior's not. Junior is going to give the best to these kids that he can, and I think that's important. I think they need that. That'll
you should hire him as a coach, then.
Big time. I love it. And as far as Maroney goes,
do we have James in Pennsylvania
only,
on the other line?
Maroney's good for kickoff only. I'm done with him. I told you I was done with Galloway a couple of weeks ago. I said I want Edelman and Aiken. They used them last week. That worked out well. And
they combined for
about
two catches.
Aiken's receptions. He had like three that were ripped out of his hand. He would have had probably four receptions last week.
Yeah, if he didn't drop three of them, he would have.
No, but it wasn't drops. It was great coverage.
Well, either way, you got to catch it.
Why do you think they were on him so tightly?
Be- because they probably
because he's not a good wide receiver and he can't get open.
Well, they were afraid he bought those Nike gloves that Ben Watson bought. All right. You know what I mean?
All right, Steve. Thanks for calling.
All right, you guys, love you.
Steve, always very short and succinct.
You know what Steve was thinking when Mason caught that touchdown? This is in the bag. Everything's going in perfectly.
Everything was perfect. They went 9 for 9 on third down on that try.
LT, I forgot to read his email. I think what happened is we
started fighting before you read the email?
Awesome game of the weekend followed by an excellent show yesterday. I think we escaped with the win Sunday. The game could have or should. I got to that point.
Yeah, that's where the argument broke out.
A technical question to the football experts. On Sunday, the CBS commentators, and Phil Simms in particular, alluded to the quick snap count by the quarterback on the quarterback sneak and the fourth down run by Sammy Morris. I'm not as well versed in the specifics of the snap count. Can you explain how the snap count works exactly, what a hard count is, and how the quarterback and the O-line make sure they are on the same page with regards to timing? Is it all mental, or do they actually scream out counts?
Short ox! Short ox! Short ox! Richmond, Florida, Buffalo! Short ox! Richmond, Florida, Buffalo!
Short ox! That's actually Peyton Manning, but anyway.
And that's an audible, not a snap count.
Why don't you explain it, Andy?
Well, what was the two?
You probably jumped outside more than a time or two.
Never. A hard count is just the quarterback changing the inflection of his voice. So it's said, hut, 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 hut! And your natural reaction is like you jump. You go, and it happens.
It's to try to get the defense to move, to jump offside.
And then the changing the snap count is for whatever they're using. I mean, hut is definitely one. Is the Omaha is that first sound after they call that out. So, you know, he's setting it. He's doing his Peyton Manning shtick. Omaha said hut, and they're off on that one count. And it's a quick count, and it's going and even faster on something like a quarterback sneak, where then there's no adjustments. It's get to the line, and we're going on first sound.
Well, generally,
they know that.
You never see a play almost nowadays in the NFL where you break the huddle, everybody lines up, and then the quarterback immediately gets under center and calls a snap. There's always some sort of motion or formation
change. For all I know, it's the red roof in, red roof in.
On
and that
short
means
yardage.
Line up as fast as you can, and first sound, I'm running a sneak. Yeah,
and I even think on short yards like those Sammy Morris plays, that's the call in the huddle is.
No, I know, but
we're going
sneaks,
right to the line, and we're going.
The sneak is a fallback play for. We just stole one. We got to get it done before the replay is allowed to happen, or whatever. So there's some call. Whatever the call is, it's a formation. It's if you're on the far side of the field, you're not going back to the other side of the field. You're lining up as quickly as you can, and whatever their fallback is, and getting the playoff.
LT also says, "Love the passion of the show. Can't wait to see Fred go head to head with Paul on PFW TV pay per view sumo wrestling matchup."
Would have been a good one.
I hope we didn't disappoint.
You did.
Why don't we get a quick practice update from Scalavino?
I was going to take a break and then go to Scalavino, but he's here right now.
That's all right. You can take a break if you want.
Because we need to pay American. American Airlines needs to pay us, right?
All right.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got it?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You've heard the jokes.
Flanders has cooties. Flanders has cooties.
You've heard the jabs.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
You've heard the voicemail.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Today, hear the man live. That's right. The infamous Ken Flanders will be appearing on Shop Talk today on AmericanAirlinesPatriots.com radio. Send us your emails, call the show, and be a part of the biggest moment in Shop Talk history. It's Ken Flanders on Shop Talk today at 4 p.m. only on AmericanAirlinesPatriots.com radio.
Where nobody sucks, except for Flanders.
Back here at PFW in Progress.
Had his mic on and everything.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Eric's in the house.
Entourage intro.
And he's
like
got
it.
A little practice report. Tell us who's in, who's
bad,
out.
Bad news, Fred.
Bad news. I don't like it.
Fred Taylor, Randy Moss, not there.
Not there.
That was a good story.
They'll be back.
Well, the Moss thing to me is troubling.
Because of the back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you know of another injury.
I mean, we saw Fred Taylor go out
and I'm even
of the
more troubled than
Falcons game. With what looked like an ankle injury. He limped off. He was getting treated on the sideline. So I kind of expected
Sunday.
That
was, right? Late in the Sunday. Wasn't
in
that late Sunday?
The Ravens
Sunday?
Game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You said
Falcons.
I thought you said the Falcons.
Oh, did I? Sorry. Yeah. Ravens game.
It's a bird of a different feather.
Yes, indeed.
Doc?
So I wasn't really surprised that he wasn't on the field today, but Moss.
Sorry, I was screening
Paul's
emails.
Right. Moss is a little bit more troubling because that, you know, he gave no indication that there was anything wrong with him.
Plus the situation with the depth. You know, we already only have two, and Welker's already clearly not at his best. So if Moss is not going to be at his best,
it's the Joey Galloway show.
I think that would just top it off with the next chapter in Patriots lore.
Right.
Would be Joey Galloway catching 9 for 119 and two touchdowns on Sunday.
Now, Paul, if you have no wide receivers and you're basically just putting Brady at risk, is that an option to just go all
Wildcat
all the time?
Wildcat, baby.
So what else?
Full pads. They kind of threw us for a loop in the beginning because usually on Fridays they do the kickoff scout team and Pepper Johnson does this whole I got one, I got two, I got three. They did that today, which was inexplicable. Nobody knew why, but they started off with their
Wednesday,
usual Friday.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
I mean, it's not like there's a different time of the
Bill
game
tomorrow.
Or whatever, but
yeah,
good luck with that. So full pads, they wore the old helmets because it's a legacy game this
week.
And four black shirts for the practice player of the week.
Tully Vatican
is one, and he won the belt.
Ooh,
so he's the winner of the winners this week.
So he's that unique type of guy, I mean, because he's kind of a starter. Or
and hold that thought. There are three others.
Burgess.
Robbie Agnon, the tight end, the practice squad tight end.
That's how
you pronounce it in Italian.
Agnon?
It's Agnon.
I thought it was Agnon.
That's the bastardized American version.
How does he
the real
pronounce
way
it?
To pronounce it?
How does he pronounce it?
Can you be more pompous?
I don't know. I only care about the way it's properly pronounced.
No. The way it's properly pronounced is the way he pronounces it. You pompous
no
punk.
That's
you almost got a PRI.
How does he pronounce it?
There.
I don't care.
really, it doesn't.
That sums it up, right?
That
there.
Is the dumbest thing you've ever said on the show.
Now you're telling people how to pronounce
doesn't
their
own matter
names.
About the money, Dale. Doesn't right. matter.
Padilla.
How do you pronounce it?
Who else? Brett Lockett, and you said you mentioned starter.
I've
Charlie
got
Vantikin.
A new topic of it's you being an idiot.
Brandon Merriweather.
Yeah,
practice player
not to be
week.
Confused with Brandon Mayweather, which is what Brandon McGowan refers to him as every time.
Floyd.
He's new. He's still and, getting to know the guys.
And, you know.
What?
Not a Rhodes Scholar.
No.
All right. Well, thank you for that update, Eric.
You're good welcome. Update. Good you're update. Welcome.
You missed all the fireworks yesterday.
Scalabino. Start saying
we had a little more.
Yeah,
today.
We actually,
not
yeah.
about that topic, about a different
oh, something
we,
else.
No, we were well, we were yeah today, but we were yelling in the office today. Do you notice how quiet it was when we're done? I mean, people were like, you know, hunched over.
Yeah, they
in
don't.
The queue.
They
don't
really
know what to make of.
They think that we're actually mad.
Exactly. Yeah. People
yeah.
don't get us.
Yeah.
Learn a quiet taste. I say it all the time.
No one ever acquires it.
Speaking of going to Denver, John in Albuquerque says I'm going to the game this weekend. The last game I went to. Was when the Pats went 16-0 against the Giants in New Jersey. Weather report changed since I last checked.
39 in snow showers?
Weather has gotten colder by at least 10 degrees with chances of snow and rain. It might affect yes. the game. Broncos will get their first
flight.
Loss of the season
That's
this Sunday.
Broncos will get their first loss of the season. Now, are they going to have orange uniforms on?
No, they're going to have the old brown it's uniforms
the old,
with
yeah,
the numbers
ugly.
On
oh,
the
I
helmets
like those
and,
too.
And
they're
the,
not ugly.
The horizontal
oh,
stripes on the...
They're nice.
Oh, excuse me, the vertical stripes on the socks.
Yeah. Little snow could be interesting.
Peter writes in, I kind of see Fred's point. I don't think Fred is phrasing his argument that well when he says he thought it would be an easier win. But I do sort of see his point. I was a little
surprised. No, he
I
thought
said
it was easier
right,
than he thought.
Right. I think that might be what he meant. I don't know. I was a little surprised that the Patriots led the game for basically three quarters and had an early opportunity to take a commanding lead while holding the ball up 17-7. I really did feel like they were dictating a majority of the game. They answered every big drive or play from the Ravens with a drive or big play of their own. The only time they didn't answer was with 4 minutes left, which turned the game into a nail-biter. Maybe this is pure homerism, but I felt like it was a lot harder for the Ravens to score than it was for the Patriots. They threw a 20-yard third-down pass for a TD and got a strip-sack fumble recovery for a touchdown. I'm not saying these are fluke plays or that the Ravens didn't earn their points, but I wouldn't want to rely on a strip-sack fumble in 20 yard third down touchdown to keep me in the game if I were the Ravens. Not sure it makes any of this makes sense, but last week I felt like the Pats would squeak by with a win. Now, after hindsight of seeing the game, I'm a little more confident that the Patriots would beat the Ravens again. So, that's just one man's opinion.
I agree with the
what's the long touchdown? The first one of Mason?
Yeah, 20 yards.
They marched right down the field. That's an NFL 20, touchdown.
20 yards is a bomb,
this isn't,
I guess.
Oh, the high school.
The first series, yeah. Absolutely.
They marched right down
they
the
went
field.
Right down
that
the
wasn't
field.
Like a fluke. Yeah, they, but, when they convert third down five times in a row, it's not a fluke.
But then the Patriots tightened up.
And it wasn't
right,
third.
Right. I'm not disregarding either side of it. I thought it was a good game where both sides had stretches.
Okay.
They played well.
I agree with the whole premise.
I don't think either team could have walked away victorious and said it was easy.
The whole
in any
email
way.
Up until the scoring plays, I agree with. I thought the Patriots did answer every call offensively. Every time they had to score, basically, they did. I agree with that. But
to answer a call,
but it was
you
a
have
punch.
To have a call.
Exactly. It was
there
a
was
punch.
A call
counterpunch.
Call.
Punch. Counterpunch. Yeah. It was a back
actually,
and forth game.
I actually thought the Ravens responded pretty well in
yeah,
the second
yes.
half after the Patriots.
That's why it was
up.
A good game.
That's well. That's kind of what we were getting at. It was a
that's
really
right.
good game that, between two good teams that went down to the last play.
Fred thought it was easy.
If you have to rely on a 20-yard pass, if I'm the Patriots, I don't want to be relying on, what was it, a 15-yard Sammy Morris run against the Ravens?
Right.
Probably not what I'm relying on against Baltimore either. I mean, if we could count that way.
Steve writes, is Joey Galloway proof that Bill Buckner had a love child?
I don't know what that means.
Because yeah. he can't catch the ball, I guess.
Oh.
Good call.
Good.
David writes in, what is more impressive? And David's from Des Moines. Actually, he's Jacobin. That's his pseudonym.
Okay. Jacobin.
Both names are here, though.
Is
but
that,
then I, but then I saw
is that the right pronunciation?
J-A-X.
Would I don't know. Be? I don't know what language.
Oh,
is
so now here
from.
We go. Now he's gonna.
Can I get the country of
he's
origin?
He's now picking his
house.
Picking his
I'm just saying. I don't know what language it comes from.
Language of origin, please.
Yes.
Latin.
Use it in a sentence, please.
Yeah. I don't.
Do the chickens have large talons?
It sounds like one of those Bible names, Jacobin.
Jebediah.
Don't know that one.
Anyway, and you know the Bible.
A little bit.
A little bit.
You highlight the Bible.
No.
Is that sacrilegious?
No.
No. Really not? You can highlight it?
No.
I can't proceed.
Don't want to. You know the whole damn thing.
Well, we only have 25 minutes left.
Anyway, he says, what's more impressive, Josh McDaniels rallying his troops to put up a 4-0 start?
Yep.
Or if McDaniels beats the Patriots with a Broncos team that truly I don't see how they are winning games?
The first part.
Well, who have the Broncos beat? They've beaten
Cowboys.
Yeah, they beat the Cowboys. They
Cincinnati's 3-1 and Dallas is 2-2. The other two teams were terrible. Oakland and Cleveland will win one win between them.
Right.
And
but I think them beating Dallas is an impressive win.
They have two good wins and two stiffs.
Right, yeah. And the one win against Cincinnati was a fluke because they
gave up a touchdown with 10 seconds left to fall behind. They were winning 6-0. And Cincinnati scored with 10 seconds left. So they were one play away from winning it without the fluke.
Right.
You know? And Cincinnati's 3-1 now. Say what you want about the Bengals. Maybe they'll be 3-13 when it's over. But they're actually playing pretty decently,
the Bengals.
Yeah.
So their points per game could have been 4.5.
You know, it's funny. You know, I know
they gave up a touchdown with less than 30 seconds.
That's amazing.
You know, and I know you're not supposed to take anything out of preseason, but don't forget, game two of preseason, 7-6, Patriots lost to Cincinnati. Does it mean anything? I don't know.
No, it doesn't.
That was perfect. I wish we had the camera just for that. That was perfect. You morphed into Chris Berman right there.
Also, I thought Denver's defense, this is now still Jacobin, I thought Denver's defense was lackluster, and now they are at least acceptable. Does the Broncos defense pose more of a threat, or does the Broncos Patriot-style offense pose more of a threat to our defense?
How about which defense is a bigger fraud?
Who's?
Patriots or Broncos?
I think Broncos.
Not surprised there.
I don't know. I
It's hard to, yeah.
They're both putting up good numbers. I mean, the Broncos are ridiculous. I'm not holding them to that standard.
Yeah, I think the Patriots
have
played better offenses so far.
That's why
Baltimore and Atlanta.
That's why I think the Broncos are more the fraud.
But I don't think the Broncos are a fraud defensively. I think they have a coach that's an NFL, one of the best NFL defensive coaches in Mike Nolan.
Right.
And I think he's made a huge difference. And they've also completely transformed the group that couldn't stop anybody from last year. They have like 6 or 7 new starters.
It smells like a Patriots defense where they have one of the greatest defensive coaches of the generation, and they've turned it over.
Right. So that's why I'm not willing to just dismiss their 6.5 points a game just because of the team. Now, are they going to average 6.5 points? No.
Not even close.
But they're much, much better defensively than they were last year.
The average will double this weekend.
Andre Davis, Andre Goodman,
easily.
Ronaldo Hill, Brian Dawkins.
No, maybe not easily.
They've made a lot of improvements defensively.
Yeah. Kevin from Illinois is upset. He wants to know who he has to blow to get his opinion heard here.
Excuse me?
What?
I just thought
that was the answer.
Excuse you?
Do you want to apologize for
breaking
the rule?
I'll say Paul.
No, you shouldn't say that because that's
Why?
Not true.
You have to
that's what we
sorry.
Do on this show.
You have to say your side.
How about me? Can I say me? Is that okay? He has to blow me.
It's not true.
See, I'm not set.
You shouldn't be saying
How do you know?
That.
Mouth has no gender.
I have no problems if it's not true. You can say it about me. I don't care.
I thought you were going to say I have no problems if you blow me.
Mouth has no gender.
Tom Curran told me
that. Wow. Oh, Paul.
It's true.
Tom Curran taught me. Mouth has no gender.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so we're going to read Kevin's opinion. He says, I've written in several times now, wagging his finger, and I still have not had my opinion heard. But I hear from the same emailers every week. I know that I am a new emailer,
good job, Fred.
But I think that what I have to say is valid.
Okay, so do all the others. It isn't always.
I have been making the point that the Ravens and the Broncos are both terribly overrated. They have played no one. This week's game is not going to be a game. The Broncos have played Cleveland, Cincinnati, Oakland, and the most overrated team in the NFL history, the Cowboys. I honestly don't think that the Pats will have any problem with the conditions of playing at Mile High. This won't be a game. My second point is about Lawrence Maroney. It is time for him to go. We have a revolving door with roster spot 53. Clear it up by simply releasing Maroney. He struggles to have a yard each play. Every time I see him get the ball from Brady, I think, oh, crap. Here he goes nowhere. We have given this guy enough time. I know some of you want to give him the rest of the year, but he doesn't deserve it. It is time to move on to something else, and I would like to hear what you guys think about both of these points. Thanks for listening, and I absolutely love the show. If my boss knew what I was doing during work hours, he would be pissed.
Join the club.
Well, I see why you haven't read those emails, Fred.
They're not worth anything. That Maroney one, hardly ever hear that one.
Because if Baltimore wasn't overrated, I'd hate to see what would happen, how close the game would be
okay,
if they
so
were
Baltimore
good.
Was overrated.
Look, I picked Baltimore to win that division before the season, so I'm sticking
so
by
who
that.
Are the but if they're overrated, I'd hate to see what would happen
right.
if they
how
were really good.
How could you have watched that game and not thought that Baltimore
was a good
team?
Yeah, I don't think the Baltimore Ravens are overrated. Absolutely. Again, why I thought it was easier than I thought it would be. Anyway. But I think they're a really good team, and I think they're the
coming
best team.
Coming down to the last play of the
I
game.
Think they're the best team in you know, better than Pittsburgh this year, and I thought that before the season.
You did. You said you know? That to me before the season.
All right, so
it's not right.
So we don't agree with the fact that Baltimore's overrated. Denver, we're not sure about.
I don't think Denver's rated. I think they're the least respected 4-0 team probably that the NFL has seen in the last decade. I think no one really thinks they're very good. And people look at Cleveland and Oakland and they
now,
laugh at them.
I can remember when Pete Carroll was the coach defending the Patriots when they started out 4-0. And a lot of people in the media said it was a really weak 4-0. And, of course, I was saying you are what your record says you are. But it turns out they ended up 8-8. And they were right.
They were a weak 4-0.
They were a weak 4-0. So it does happen.
And what the funny part about it is they should have been a weak 8-0.
Yeah.
Because they blew a big lead against Miami at home to lose 31-30 to Damon Heward. And Adam Vinatieri missed a 31-yard field goal in the last play of the game in Kansas City.
Right.
And they lost 16-14. So there's two games they should have won, and they would have been 8-0 and probably would have finished 10-6 instead of 8-8. But that was a week. They weren't that good, that team, 99.
So we don't know about Denver. And as far as Lawrence Maroney, I think even I am feeling the same way. He hasn't run poorly on every play, though.
No, he hasn't.
You know, and I heard somebody on the radio, I don't know if it was Boomer Esiason, but not just a caller on the radio, but an expert, quote unquote, said that they think the problem with him, no, it's Tom Curran, as a matter of
carries.
Fact. He said he doesn't get enough carries.
Yeah.
He should get more carries.
I think there's some element of truth to that. It's one of those things, Andy, you ever see this? You have when there's like a clearly an established back and he's running, he's ripping off 8 yards, 9 yards. 8 yards, and then they take him out for a blow, and they put the backup in, and they hand it off. And what happens every time? The guy gets buried in the backfield for a 2-yard loss.
Right.
That seems like what's happening to Lawrence Maroney every time right now. It's like the plays aren't blocked the same way. I mean, I know that he's dancing. I know he's coming to a complete stop. I heard Tom talking about that yesterday. But doesn't it seem like every time he's hemmed in by three guys, whereas Sammy Morris is ripping off 15-yard draws, no one touched him.
Yeah, but I have to say, when the other three guys are doing one thing and you're not, you don't get the benefit of the doubt.
On Sunday, no one ran the ball.
They all ran better than him.
Taylor had like one carry in the game, right?
It's 7 for 25.
Oh, I thought that was Morris.
No. Taylor led the team in carries. Yeah, I believe 7 for 25.
Maybe it was Morris that didn't have anything?
They all averaged over 3 yards a carry, or four. Well, they're all maximizing their opportunities consistently than Maroney.
Listen, no one's less on
he's
the,
past the point where
no
he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. They're just going to give him the ball to develop
I laugh
him.
At you when you predict him to have 1,400 yards.
He stinks.
I did that last year. I saw what he did at the end of 2007, and I got duped into thinking he could do that for 16 games. I think he's soft. I think he's afraid of contact, and I think he's always looking to hit the home run. But I do think that, like Fred just said, most of the runs that he's had this year, he just doesn't look like he's had much of a chance.
He's not going to get opportunities. He's not going to get more carries.
I think it was funny that the Atlanta game, when they're blowing them off the line of scrimmage, he didn't get any carries. You know?
It was a little strange that he wasn't.
Or even in the Jets game in the second half, he had a couple good runs.
But they
two
didn't
of
give,
them were called back.
But they didn't give anybody any carries that game. Fred Taylor got 21.
Right.
You know, and he had the whole thigh injury.
Right. He was running well, so you kind of don't want to pull the plug on the hot hand. You know, when Taylor was running against the Falcons. He was running well.
In the Falcons game, yeah.
So you don't want to sort of break that up. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do with this guy. You know,
I think it's time to move on.
I mean, they won't move on this year. I don't know why you'd cut
him.
What's
even more troubling is he's starting to do the same damn thing on kickoff.
Well, that's an issue.
And he was pretty good on that at one time.
Very good.
You know?
Yeah, I don't mean pull the plug this year. I mean, this is
clearly it. Oh, yeah, I'm not re-signing him. I'm not giving him another chance.
This is clearly it for Maroney.
He's had more than his chances, his opportunities, and he just hasn't maximized. Because at this level, they all have talent. They all have the ability.
Right.
You need to show it. And guys that are drafted higher get more opportunity. Yeah, if he was a seventh-round pick, he would have been gone a long time ago.
We saw that Cincinnati game his rookie year. Said, this guy is going to be a punishing Steven Jackson type of runner. And it just hasn't happened.
Why is Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis still here? Because when they've given him the chance to shine, he's done a little bit. He had a 100-yard game. He found the end zone a few times. That's how you stay as that guy. Maroney gets more than those opportunities because he is a first-round pick, because he's more talented, because the upside is theoretically better. But it comes to an end at some point. Chad Jackson came to an end. Lawrence Maroney, we'll see you next year somewhere.
The end is near.
Todd saw him sulking the other day on that BC game.
I thought he was...
No, the BC game where BC, they cut away to the other game, the Axe game in Wisconsin. They were showing something since somebody did something quick, and they showed like Maroney sulking on the sideline because Minnesota lost and like choked it away late or did something.
Because I was going to say, I saw him sulking in the locker room today. He clearly was pissy today.
Uh-oh. That could be something right there.
How did he get to the...
He's usually in a pretty good mood. Game.
Maroney. No. So, like, when it happened, yeah. there was a clip of when they blew the game.
Oh.
Maybe what happened?
He's not usually in a pretty good mood when he's not being played or productive at all.
Todd Porter says, this week's PFW TV was great. Just the right amount of Eric. Trash talk segment was classic. Apparently, bitches isn't one of the words you can't say on TV. And Fred...
Who said bitches?
I did. no, I said they shouldn't be bitching about calls when they knew that these guys...
Oh, anyway. You didn't call the hoes bitches.
Yeah, I think that's different. Yeah. I think you're right.
Fred, it's a glass table. You kick your leg out in every episode. What's up? Do you have the Jimmy legs, or are you just adjusting your junk on worldwide TV?
See?
It's the latter.
Second accusation of that.
The Jimmy legs.
I have both. I have to adjust my junk, and I have Jimmy legs.
He walked into the studio and said, I got big balls. I can't help
it. We're sitting on these bar stools for half an hour in uncomfortable clothes.
That's your fault.
I have to move. I have to move around. I can't sit still like that.
Why are your clothes uncomfortable?
Because he's fat. I'm wearing slacks.
Because he's got 36s on with a 40-inch.
The first thing I do when I get home is I drop the drawers. Okay,
that's your best line ever.
What did he say?
Because you're wearing 36s instead of the 40s that you should be wearing.
Anyway, no. I mean, I don't. Who likes wearing pants? Really? If you're honest.
Hello.
If you're honest.
I actually do.
You know, you like wearing pants around the shorts?
Well, no.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant you just
going around nude.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, no, but if you have, you want some air circulation going up there.
You
right?
know me. When I have shorts on, I'm bouncing off the walls with energy.
Yeah.
Love them.
That's right. So
he's right.
So why did you make us wear suits?
He's more productive while wearing
because
shorts.
Because it's, you know. You
it's the right
good.
Thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
The host wears a shirt and tie.
Then you said bitches.
I said they shouldn't bitch about the call.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Guys, I think that's different than calling someone a bitch.
Andy Hart, here we go, boys.
Like Eric's a bitch. I mean, I can't say that. It's true, though. I can because you are. That's the rule.
Let's see. Brian writes.
He never takes advantage of when we're bickering. He never takes advantage of that to get an email ready and read it. He's read ahead while we're chatting.
When I don't listen to him, he complains.
I no longer talk to you because you don't listen. So Eric and Paul are fine. I have a nice audience. It works well. We make fun of you. It's good. Now read an email.
What did you say? This is Brian from Aspen. Just wanted to drop a line and let you know I got my paper the other day, and I really enjoyed the article on Prescott Burgess. What do you think
nice
he will
job,
add
Eric.
To the team? Can he help us in our upcoming game with Baltimore?
Nice job, Eric.
As always, great to get the paper. You'll be happy to know I gave the Pony Express rider a carrot for his horse. Keep up the good work.
I love it when people say, I got my paper. Like, it's this amazing feat.
I'll be at the game this weekend. Hope Carol isn't booking your flights, though, so you know the game is Sunday, October 11th.
If you left Carol a voicemail 2 months ago, she will get back to you. Don't worry.
It is not. We mail it out religiously Monday night.
Right.
We do.
I mean, there's nothing we can do about the Postal Service.
I make these guys do overnights just to get it in the mail.
The USPS, the worst run business on the planet.
You know, because when we first started, we did mail on Tuesday. And I found that mailing it on Monday night made a difference. So that's why we do the overnights. But, you know, what can I do? The U.S. Post Office.
They suck.
Stinks and it sucks.
Gene from Daytona Beach. I noticed when Tom got hit to the head or driven into the ground by Haynesworth, Tom did not say a word, but the Ravens, in frustration, knew they could get into Tom's head by taking a dive at his knees. The complaining after the game only diminishes them. They should go on to the next game and hope they get another chance at the Patriots later, make their statements by playing better and not complaining about the officiating. That's Gene.
Well, I think they had a legitimate gripe about the officiating. There were some questionable calls throughout the game.
I don't really see the correlation between the Haynesworth hit.
Yeah,
why would Brady have complained on that?
I don't know.
Was there a question over that?
I think what Gene is saying, that Brady knew they were doing it purposely.
But there was a question on the hit.
I think you
by
could
the
have
Ravens.
Argued he would. I actually think there's an argument that Haynesworth drove him into the turf. That whole you can't drive a quarterback into the turf.
Okay, I didn't.
I thought there was a more of a driving into the turf
at the time.
I think he did broke more of a rule than Suggs did, because I didn't think Suggs touched him. So I find it hard to call a penalty on a guy that doesn't make contact.
Well, yeah, and that's why I could see why Suggs would complain.
But I don't think people really made a deal about the Haynesworth hit at the time.
Other than the fact that... Right.
Well, no penalty was
called.
Right, no penalty was hurt.
I thought it was a clean hit.
I think it was a clean hit, but I think the way the league calls it, you could have gotten a driving him into the turf there. But 95% of the league, I mean, the world wants it called the way it was called against Washington. They would have bit. You would have heard more about it had they thrown a flag, because nobody wants the wussification of the game.
Matt writes in, I know it's time to move on to Denver, but something is still bothering me from Sunday. I was fortunate to be at the game, section 319, row 5, and to our left was a whole section of Ravens fans who seemed to dominate the crowd noise. How does this happen? If the Pats aren't scoring on every drive, the fans just seem to bail. Very disappointing. Well, we've been saying it for, I don't know, 15 years. During Belichick's press conference today, did I hear him correctly? Did he say Denver's defense is, quote, doing it better than anyone else in the league right now? Does he really think that, or is this just the way he conducts himself at all these press conferences?
I think he really thinks that both. Because he puts an emphasis on points, and whatever you say, through four games, they haven't given up points.
Right. Last thing, you guys do the best job covering the greatest sport with my favorite team. Everyone who is listening right now should tell two friends to tune in.
Yeah,
I then agree. They should do the same. PFW in Progress should be heard by all football fans. That's all Sarge has to say today. And P.S. Andy, your cat's staring problem is creepy.
That's my buddy.
What happened? Did I hear about this?
What do you mean?
Cat staring problem?
No. He came by. I gave him tickets. He came by. My cat was interested in him and or... stalking him.
Wait a minute.
What?
One of our listeners came to your house?
Yes, he's the guy I know. He's from Dartmouth.
I played high school football with him, and I gave
him my seats to the Ravens game.
Okay.
Which I don't understand how he was stuck with a bunch of Ravens fans in an employee section. How did that happen, Fred?
There were a lot of the Ravens people. Fans.
We are sold out.
StubHub!
There were a lot of Ravens fans at that game. What I can't understand is how Patriots fans would have chosen to give that one up.
No,
if
I know.
There were a lot of
it. But isn't it a step more that
like give up the Miami game?
To Ravens
give up
fans?
The Buffalo game. Give up the Miami. Well, the Buffalo game was the opener. Give up the Miami game.
How do employees find that many Ravens fans?
Give up the Carolina game. You know who cares about those? Baltimore. That figured to be a good matchup.
Dana from Gunnison, Colorado.
It wasn't though. It was kind of easy.
It was easier than I thought.
Dana from Gunnison, Colorado. Looks like I'll finally be able to meet you guys.
I doubt
speaking
it.
Of meeting us, after listening to you since 2003. If what I heard is true, you'll be at the poorhouse on Saturday for the festivities organized by Pat's Tailgate. That's true. We will be.
Chris Gocon.
Is that mandatory?
I'll be able to judge for myself if Andy's head is really as big as everyone, including himself, says it is. Anyway, my question for you guys is about Terrence Nunn. He looked really good during the preseason, caught everything near him, and seemed to be on the same page as Brady. Why is, quote, can't seem to learn the offense and catch the ball Joey Galloway, end quote, still around? Let's get younger and get more productive instead of older and dumber.
Older and dumber is no way to go through life.
I think the end is near for Galloway, too. I would agree with that. But did Terrence Nunn catch a lot of passes from Tom Brady?
Yeah.
It could have been from Brian Hoyer, from, you know.
Could have been Andrew Walter.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he didn't catch any.
Games.
I'm not saying he didn't catch any, but I don't think he caught many.
Right. Chris from Stamford, Connecticut. My question is about Galloway. Will he ever get it? I asked because I was going over some free agent receivers over the years, and there seems to be a distinct line between those who picked up the offense and those who never did.
That's true.
I can't find any who suddenly started producing halfway through the season, except Gaffney, who was signed in October.
Who was signed halfway through the season.
That's a very, very accurate point.
You either get it or you don't.
Donald Hayes, Doug Gabriel, Joey Galloway. Just never really seemed to get on board. The only one
Chad
I would
Jackson.
Say
really
might
surprised
be,
about the Galloway one
might be the exception to the rule is Dante Stallworth, who I'm not sure ever really got it fully, but produced reasonably well. Certainly,
and
we would take that production out of Galloway.
Was kind of along for the ride with the other two, but Galloway can't even get to the point where he's along with the
exactly.
Chris says, "I feel bad for Galloway, but he's been in Foxborough for months. and he can't seem to get on the right page. Yeah. How much time do you think he gets? I know we're all fans of Terrence Nunn's story, but is he a viable replacement?
No.
Will New England take a look at Larry Beavers, or are they afraid of Andy Snide comments?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is. I don't
he sends us a YouTube link, which
of Beavers. Really
help us. No. By the way, Terrence Nunn, I don't think could be a worse option than Sam Aiken. I really don't.
No, I agree.
As a wide receiver, obviously but Aiken does other
the
things.
The idea isn't the word is better. I mean, can he be like consistently productive? Is he going to help your offense?
Don't know.
Chris, if so, then the story gets more remarkable how he got blackballed.
Chris from Toronto writes in, enthralling debate to open the show yesterday. Paul and Andy, no matter how many Patriots fans whine and complain, don't ever change. It's refreshing for people such as yourselves to be truly objective in the analysis of your team's performance. Freddie, you could learn a thing or two from them. Just kidding. You better be. The balance you bring is very important, too. I particularly enjoyed your comment that the win over the Ravens came easier than you thought it would be.
Now
and Paul's subsequent
mocking.
Stunned reaction, you astound me. More than anything else, I was surprised an F-bomb or two weren't dropped. Maybe next time.
It was close.
A little disappointed as well.
I would be interested to hear your thoughts on the Patriots' next opponent, the suddenly stingy 4-0 Denver Broncos. I, like you, had my doubts about this team given their tumultuous offseason. Their opposition thus far has been suspect. But it's still hard not to be impressed that they've allowed just 26 points. It's still early, but are they for real? And secondly, do you think that this game being played in Denver, coupled with the confidence the Broncos are playing with now and Josh McDaniels' knowledge of the New England offensive system, will make this the Patriots' toughest game so far?
No.
I think last Sunday was their toughest game
so
far.
And I don't think that's going to...
I actually think that the Week 2 loss in the Meadowlands was the toughest game so far, but that's just me.
Right. I kind of forgot about that one.
Fred.
Josh McDaniels have an advantage knowing the Patriots offense?
Why does Bill Belichick
not have an advantage knowing everything about Josh McDaniels? In fact,
right.
The only thing Josh McDaniels knows is what Bill told him.
Right.
Well, but don't you think
it
that
goes
there
both
is,
ways?
Right. Don't you think there's an element that Josh knows the personnel as well as the schemes better than Bill knows the personnel?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows Randy Moss is good.
But no, that doesn't. Listen, don't put 1-1 and say that I'm saying that the Broncos are going to win. I'm saying that element of it, Josh has an intimate knowledge of the schemes and the personnel. Bill doesn't have the knowledge of the personnel that Josh has of the Patriots.
By the way, Eric is still here.
Except that half of the Broncos on offense were Patriots last year.
Right. Now, okay, let's get back.
The third string running back and the third wide
receiver. Yeah, we know how the long snaps will go.
And the backup guard.
You just said he started last week.
Because of an injury.
Well, this is why Eric doesn't talk, because when he does, he gets made fun of.
You know, he's going to sell. Slam the headset down. Come on, do it. There's only 30 seconds left anyway. But the weather, if it snows, who does that benefit?
Broncos, I think.
I don't know.
I don't think the Broncos want to fill the air with passes and put an aerial circus on. I think the Patriots always want to do that.
But is their running game matched up against Patriots' run defense? If it becomes more of a running game, who has the advantage there? Patriots' running game versus their run defense? Or
I think the Broncos would have an advantage. Now, that doesn't mean the Broncos would win.
I think that changes things.
I think if you're going to turn it into 100%, much like the Buffalo game last year, that, to me, strongly benefited Buffalo, even though the Patriots won anyway. You take the passing out of the equation, I think it hurts the team that passes the ball better. To me, that's the Patriots. Doesn't mean the Patriots won't win. I think they'll still win. Even if it's that kind of a game with snow that prohibits you from throwing it, I think the Patriots would still... Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be in the 30s and snowing.
Man, I don't want
to
bring a coat.
Luckily, you have one that's popping out from under your shirt right now.
So what do you think, Andy? You asked the question.
I kind of answer with I think the Patriots are the better team.
Oh, well, I agree.
Like, if the passing... Because rarely does the passing game get
38-13.
Yes, I think they're going to kill them. And rarely does the passing game get removed. Buffalo was one where it was just removed. But I don't care whether it snows or not. I assume, okay, Randy Moss will catch 7 yards outs instead of 15-yard outs. And you know what I mean? Like, they're still better if there's Moss and Welker and Brady on the field compared to whatever Orton is going to do.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Especially if Taylor's out, then I definitely think the pure running game is a Broncos advantage, because I think right now they're just sharing the load between two guys who are both hot. They know their role. Again, Buckhalter, if he plays, so there's some injury involved there. But just flat-out running,
Jordan.
I like that.
Yeah. Blake in Virginia says, I think I figured out the problem with Joey Galloway. He needs to, quote, get his mind out of Disturbia, girl. I use this phrase at least twice a week. Thank you, Eric. Aaron,
aren't you supposed to do a crossover?
Yes, we're going to do that right now. John is in his basement. John, how you doing?
Good, and I'm kind of curious as to why there were so many Baltimore fans in front of where I was sitting, too, you know, on the 40-yard line. I mean, come on.
You were supposed to be up in the box doing the PA announcement. What are you doing on the 40-yard line?
What do you have, that's a wireless mic?
That's where the box is.
That's where our booth is.
Oh, okay.
It's on the 40-yard line.
It's not on the 300-level corner like us.
It's the first time I've heard in a long time that there were a lot of opponents' fans.
They heaped. There was a heap chant when he caught the pass.
Todd Heap caught a pass, and there was legitimately a heap chant.
We had what looked like, to me, Joe Flacco's family sitting about 10 rows in front of us.
Tall and goofy?
I don't know about that, but there were six Flacco jerseys. What was that, Paul?
Did the father have a unibrow like Joe?
Yeah. You know who? I don't know if you guys watch the show Heroes on NBC.
Nope. I don't know.
He looks like the villain, Flacco, on Heroes.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it before. Yeah, I would agree with that. I was a little taken aback by as many Baltimore fans was in the crowd. I kind of like you guys, I kind of figured this would not be one game where our season ticket holders would want to give up the tickets.
Right. Okay, so is this going to be another 2 hours of the PA announcer for the Patriots putting down the team? I'm only kidding.
Seriously, when was the last time you heard the Patriots fans do a chant for one of their players? Bruschi had one, but there's nobody else. There's none now. There's nobody that catches a pass and something erupts.
Well, who has
I don't know. Moss catches passes a lot. Come up with something.
But I know. Who has that name that naturally...
Rand.
You know, who has that...
I don't know.
Wes. I don't know, but for a fee, I could be convinced to come up with something.
Yeah, well, okay.
You already got your thing. It's that first down. You were a little weak-spirited.
Patriots! First down.
What do you mean I was weak-spirited?
I don't know. The other day, I didn't feel the vibe. I didn't think you were giving it your all.
Some of those games where the Patriots get like 28, 29 first downs, it doesn't seem like you have the same zip by the end of the game.
All right, well, here's the situation with that. You want the honest truth?
It's taped.
No.
Oh.
I wish it were.
You're lip-syncing.
Then I could get out of the lottery.
So why don't you just tape it so you hit
stop.
A button every time?
Nope. Don't do that. I've been told by the National Football League through Patriots Public Relations to not be a cheerleader.
Oh, that's bullcrap.
This place needs cheerleaders. Nobody's cheerleaders.
I mean,
the fans,
John,
nobody.
I mean, I
Fred,
know that,
I'm telling you, tell them to mind their own damn business.
It's unbelievable.
I know. Listen.
Have you ever been to Denver where the PA announcer says that pass from Brady was and the
it
whole crowd
is.
Goes,
oh, please.
The crowd does that.
I totally understand.
John's trying to get the crowd to say first down.
So don't blame it on the NFL.
No, I know, but they're telling him he can't do it.
The crowd could say first down.
He can't be a cheerleader.
Paul, hold
they're
on a second. What do you mean you're blaming on the NFL? I've taken the freaking phone call from them.
No, what
They've
I'm saying is
my booth.
What I'm saying is you saying that, that's
me.
Another Patriots is the same as the Denver guy
that's
saying,
what I'm saying.
The pass on the field is
right.
Agreed.
But
so then why
the crowd
can they do that?
The crowd in Denver does it. The
no,
crowd in New England doesn't.
But why don't they tell him
it has nothing
Denver
to do with
to
the
stop.
NFL?
Right.
Why
no, but why don't they tell him to stop in Denver? Stop being.
I don't know.
Why should they?
I can't answer that question for you. I don't know.
First down.
He just said
all
he
I know is
don't be a cheerleader. He's leading cheers.
So you can't do that first down thing anymore?
No, I can. I just have to be careful with it. I can't go over the top with it like you guys want
that's
me to go
crazy.
Over the
top.
So, I don't understand.
Stupid.
So, John,
I'm calling the lead.
I think
you
should
do
the same thing in both cities.
I'm getting off this show and I'm calling
then
the lead.
What you should do, John, is just say all you should just say that's good for another Patriots and then stop talking.
That's
what he does.
Then it would be
crickets.
You got those crickets.
The difference is the Patriots fans don't yell first down the way the Denver fans yell incomplete.
They certainly
that's
don't
true.
Do it as much.
But it's
that's
not
true.
I don't think it's any league mandate. I think one crowd participates and the other one doesn't.
That's also true. But whenever I've tried to goose the fans a little bit more to get them to get into it, I get a phone call.
I understand that.
I've had NFL officials standing behind me in the booth to make sure that we don't do this.
Tell them when you do your job right and don't call cheap penalties on the field, I'll do mine.
Look, here's where the league is making a big mistake. Now, I understand they don't want to give...
Being overprotective of the quarterback?
You know, no, I understand they don't want to give, like, you know, this unfair advantage by inciting the crowd on defense and all this stuff with the videos and everything like that. But, again, this is a conversation we had a couple weeks ago. Why would I go to the game instead of watching at my home?
I know.
There
I
are
totally
reasons.
Agree.
There
needs
to
be an
experience. If I can feel like I'm involved and experienced and I have an effect in the game, the league should actually promote that.
Absolutely,
promote
Fred.
That.
I think we all understand that NFL stands for no fun.
Exactly.
So,
I agree.
Soon it'll be
no
business.
The biggest problem with this is that they should – They feel, and I see the NFL's point of view because they feel like if they allow anything to escalate, in other words, if they allowed you know, people like myself or the guy in Denver and others to sort of incite the crowd, then it could lead to other things. It could eventually lead to the playing
gun
of videos
play.
And constant noise with the signals and the huddle and all that kind of stuff.
I don't want to ever hear you make fun of Andy for his ridiculous exaggeration.
Well, I mean, you know, what do they think is going to happen?
Gunplay.
Look, I think the crowd should be allowed to be as loud as they can be.
I totally agree with you, Freddie.
Yeah. All right.
I think
anyway,
that's a ridiculous thing by the NFL.
Much of John's show, we do it for him. I have a phone call to make, and it's to the NFL.
And will you let me know what happens with it?
Right. We'll be back tomorrow.
Right.
Right now, stay tuned to John Rook with Patriots Playbook. And, of course, at 4 o'clock, Ken Flanders makes his premiere on Shop Talk. We'll see you tomorrow.